much about.
You got to put it in the perspective.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
And that's the story. There's nothing strange nor mysterious about menstruation. All life is built on cycles. And the menstrual cycle is one normal and natural part of nature's eternal plan for passing on the gift of life.
I'll never forget what my grandmother said right before she passed away, what she said to me right before she passed away. She said, "What are you doing?"
That's easy for you to say.
No, it wasn't. I struggled through that sentence.
You're on the air right now. You're on.
What it is this.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I just found out I have Asperger's syndrome.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh my God! They killed Kenny!
Roll another one.
This is such a holy car!
Just like the other one.
You see that? I mean, there's no penetration.
It seems to be about to quit.
Do you think this room is at the Marriott?
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
He's like the gayest person I've ever met.
Roll. Roll another one.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
Just like the other.
Skin and wear it as a coat.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
Is there really a more clear way to describe white pants?
I know nothing about nothing.
And now,
I would think, you know, for $80, just the tip.
Our feature presentation.
I would think so as well. That makes sense to me.
Sounds I'm reasonable. Rethinking it in these times, maybe only 50.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it when prices for that go down.
Sure.
What's up, party people? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Beecho.
Hey, Lisa, speaking of the tip, have you been following our favorite story about the human head found in the Hollywood Hills?
Yes, I have. And now there's a suspect at Sunset and Vine, and they're going through the trash out in front of the house, and the guy hasn't been seen in days, and they took his car.
They found Kevin. If you haven't, you probably haven't been following it, but they found the head a couple days ago, to the delight of all of us. And then in a plastic bag, there were two ladies walking dogs. They had 9 dogs with them, and they were out dog walking. And one of the dogs, went off the path a little bit and came out pushing around this bag that had a human head in it.
Can you imagine? Those women must look at that and just go,
bad surprise.
Oh no, that can't really be that.
Who do we call? What do we do?
Well, so the investigation, they found a head. The police said, hey, that doesn't seem like natural causes. This seems like maybe more to this story than just that. So they start, investigating, and they start looking in the park. I guess there's about 7 acres or something up there. And then the report comes out that they found a hand, and you go, oh, now it's getting interesting. Then they find a foot. Yeah. Then they find another hand, then they find another foot. So they got the hands, the feet, the head at this point.
You're going to rebuild him?
And they can make him better, and they can make him stronger.
Right.
And they have determined that they do not think the rest of the body, the torsos, the arms, and the legs, are in the park. So they think he was obviously killed someplace else, and then the parts were scattered all around to make it harder for somebody to get this together. But what I thought was interesting, and this is very CSI-like, and maybe I don't know if they've even had a chance to do this yet, Lisa, to lead them to that apartment, is – the way that you get fingerprints off a hand that is severed is you have to rehydrate it.
Really?
Which I thought was interesting.
So they have put it in water, essentially?
They didn't give any kind of details. I'd love to know, but yeah, they somehow get the moisture back into it, and that brings the fingerprints back up, and then they're able to to go from there to try to identify the body, and then it seems like that would be useful in terms of at least knowing where to start with the investigation. But how did they find this guy at Sunset, whose apartment they went to yesterday?
That I don't know. I just heard that report this morning, but I did hear yesterday, which I thought was so funny. They were knocking on the doors of homes in the area,
right,
around by the Hollywood sign, and they knocked on Brad Pitt's door.
Is that right?
Who knew he lived there? I got some investigating to do.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he came to the door, and reporters later asked if it had anything to do, like if they were asking him because he thought he might know something because of the movie Seven.
What?
Oh, that's
no,
funny.
No, that's a joke.
They weren't. I heard the clip.
That has to be a joke.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing that I thought was interesting about this story is the guy. Okay, so the women.
Wouldn't it be awesome if it was Brad Pitt?
It would be.
Oh, my God.
Well, if he's the killer, you mean?
Yes.
And the head was Gwyneth Paltrow's?
Yeah,
that would be awesome. Sorry, spoiler alert. All right, so here's what else is interesting. So the dog walkers, their dog finds the head, and they flag down another guy in the park there to call 911. Apparently, that guy took photos of the head.
Okay.
And is now trying to sell them, asking $5,000 for the 8 photos that he took on the scene. And I thought this was really interesting because the photos have been offered to KCAL 9 and CBS 2, also right, to TMZ.com, to Gawker. So far, the only bite is Gawker. They offered
$42. Oh, $42.
He is asking $5,000 for the set of 8 photos.
Wow.
So I don't know if his price is going to come down or if he's just going to decide not to sell.
We'll give you about $5 a photo. That's what you get.
Yeah, how do you get to $42 exactly?
That's what you get. Maybe
$42.99.
$42 and some change.
And then does he come back with, all right, not a dollar less than 50. Come
right
on.
They go 48.52.
Aren't you surprised that people aren't buying it?
Yes, I am. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think TMZ would put those photos up because that's not their tone. But it seems like there are other websites that would use. It would be worth, I don't know, whatever they could talk him down to. It would be worth $1,000, whatever it is, just to drive that much traffic to your website.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Somebody would put that up there, I would think.
Bean would spend his whole day on your website if that would help.
I don't know about that, but it would be hard not to want to see it. It is a head in a bag. I mean, come on. You don't see that very often.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. But you can sort of picture what that's going to look like and a little gruesome.
Channel 2 and Channel 9 both declined. TMZ also said no. Gawker, so far, according to this latest article I found, says $42. So we'll see what happens with that.
$42. That guy thought he had the mother load. Yeah. Now he's getting offered lunch money.
I was wondering if that's even legal since it was a crime scene and it's giving away clues maybe or something.
Apparently it is legal. Apparently selling these pictures is not a crime. Mm-hmm. So good luck with that. But what happened? I want to know what happened. And by the way, if you're trying to spread the body parts around to make the investigation harder, don't put 5 of them in the same park. Put the head at the Hollywood sign and then drive, one of the hands down to Long Beach and drive the other, hand up to Valencia. Really mix it up.
That's inconvenient.
Bean knows. This is the guy that knows.
So if
you want to do something like this, Bean's the guy you need to pay attention to.
Or you take it out on your boat in Florida and just dump it in the water like Dexter does.
That works too. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Why?
Great question, first of all. Second of all, we have MMA fighter, former MMA fighter Gina Carano on the program today.
How did she retire so young, by the way?
Star of Haywire? I don't know.
Because it seemed to me like she still was a great fighter. So, I don't know. Is she done? Do we know she's out?
I think she's done.
Okay.
We don't know. We don't know for sure.
If only we had the opportunity to talk to her, I guess we could get all these questions answered.
We're going
to
have her on the show, so maybe we could ask her.
Do that. Right.
But anyway, she's starring in Haywire, and we're going to have her on the program today. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have Kevin Smith coming in. He's a part-timer by now.
Pretty much.
So he's coming in to talk about a bunch of different stuff. He's got some good takes on the Golden Globes and on this SOPA thing, this internet thing that everybody's been up in arms about. We have Cousin Sal giving us his NFL picks. He did pretty good last week.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he was like 3-1.
Oh.
You thought your plane was going down. There's a story where somebody made an announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, this plane's going down.
We're landing in the ocean. Prepare to get in the crash position.
Can you imagine?
Whoa.
And kiss your ass goodbye.
And then just watch everybody and their reactions and stuff and how they take it. And then I guess they came back on and went, remember that thing about going down? Not happening. We're fine.
How do you miss?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You think by the time you make that announcement, you're damn sure.
Wow.
But they apparently saved it, brought it back up.
Oh, my gosh.
All the stories that I read where this happens, and this is one of the reasons why I want to talk to our listeners who have lived through it. People just start screaming, which can't make things better.
Oh, no, of course not. No. And what we're learning from this is never, ever, ever go down, right? I mean, that's what we're learning. We also have LaQuisha talking about last night's Jersey Shore.
Yay.
Which she loves and hates and loves and hates and loves and hates.
I think it's more hate now.
Yeah, so that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Hang on, I have to swallow. Sorry.
Yeah, that's not the first time you said that.
Mox, I'm going to need that tape, please. Make a note of it.
It's the world famous K-Rock, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 552.
Our new feature, Kevin is Magic, coming up right after the top of the hour here at the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, it's like you look at Kobe Bryant. You go, wow, this dude's so old. He's been playing so long. We thought we saw everything he's got up his sleeve. Now he's scoring 40 points every night. How does he do it? That's what Kevin is like. He is surprising us with how awesome he has become late in his career.
I'd say Kevin's better than Kobe because Kobe didn't score 40 points last night. But yeah, Kevin still was chewing food when the microphones went live the very first break of the show.
I'm consistent.
Just to get himself ready to play today.
Yeah.
Kevin does not disappoint. That's what we're talking about. Plus, the movie beat next hour as well here on the Kevin and Bean Show, because, of course, it is Friday, and Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat right now on a brand new show. What's going on?
Romance news. It's all about romance. This isn't working. This is not set up at all. This I think my machine's not set up here. Beer mug. If only there was some way we could have this machine set up so that the sound effects would be ready to go when I needed them.
Well, it's different. We don't normally use that machine.
I know. I'm sorry. I should have given someone a heads up that I would need that sound.
There we go.
For the Showbiz Beat this morning. Miley Cyrus apparently is committed to keep her body in tip-top condition.
For porn?
No.
That's what the salvia is for, right? In the pot?
For her career, apparently. She hired a nutritionist, a chef, and a personal trainer before taking a vacation to Hawaii so she would look good on the beach.
Uh-huh.
She dropped 15 pounds.
Wow.
Everyone said she looked spectacular. In Touch Weekly magazine reports, you know how much she spent to lose that 15 pounds?
How much?
The total grand prize for the nutritionist, chef, and personal trainer, $50,000.
Wow.
And that was just for this vacation?
That was just to put on a bikini in Hawaii and look good.
Wow.
Yeah. She can afford it.
Yes, she can. But
it's also a different world when you go and you know that they're going to be photographers and they're going to catch every pound.
Part of your job, I guess, is to look good for the photographers,
50
right?
Grand.
I know.
But can't you go on any website and say, how do I drop some weight in 2 weeks and find an answer without spending $50,000?
You could dial up P90X. You know, for $50 or something, pop in the DVD and probably get the same results. But for $50,000, a trainer would actually have to move my legs for me.
Right.
He would have to, someone would have to put me on wires like a puppet and just take all the struggle for me.
Which
working
I don't
out.
Think would help you lose weight. But
well, you don't know. You don't know how show business
it was
works.
Critical.
Yeah. But don't worry about your body, Miley. No one can get past your face.
Nice.
Brody Jenner and Avril Lavigne. I told you they were breaking up. I told you that.
Right. Yes.
I could have been wrong.
Really?
Shocking, I know. They are tweeting, especially Brody, that he's upset to read all the false stories about he and his beloved Avril Lavigne. He claims Avril is the closest person to my heart, and Avril tweeted back, "Love you too." Well, if they're loving over Twitter, it's got to be real.
That's true.
So they may be still together, even though we heard they had split up. Jessica Simpson is still pregnant. Hasn't she been pregnant for like two years?
No, I did see a picture the other day and thought, when the hell is she having this baby?
2008, I think.
she's having an elephant is what she's having.
Longer gestation period. She's done with her Lamaze classes, she's announced.
Okay, good. I was very curious about that.
Not that she's finished the course, but she's quitting the Lamaze classes.
Dropping out?
Yeah. She was talking to her sister, Ashley, who was in labor with her son, Bronx, for almost 3 days. So Jessica decides she doesn't want to go through all that. She's just going to have a C-section instead. Hey, look, whatever's more convenient for you, Jessica, don't worry about what's good for the baby. Just take the easy way out, whatever it takes, while you're not brushing your teeth and not washing your hair. Every story I hear about this woman just makes her more and more foul.
Yeah. Yeah, her good days are behind her for sure.
Did you ever wonder where celebrities worked before they became celebrities?
I love these stories. Love these stories.
Yeah. A lot of them worked in fast food places. Us Weekly magazine has a list of celebrities with fast food pasts. Rachel McAdams, for example.
Ooh.
Oh. Worked at McDonald's.
Oh. I've been to a lot of McDonald's. I've never seen Rachel McAdams even level employee.
Not even close to that. No, I always get the special needs employee that they're doing to show that they hire anybody there at McDonald's.
You want a Chicken McShake?
It's July. Eva Longoria worked at Wendy's. Said it was the longest job I've ever had. She almost made a career out of Wendy's.
Wow.
That'd be good, too, to go into Wendy's, get yourself a Frosty, and see her behind the counter.
Man, that just doesn't happen.
Chris Rock worked at Red Lobster.
Awesome.
He said, if you work there, you can't afford to eat there.
Can't.
Oh. So apparently they didn't like what they were paying over there. You see the picture of Snooki this week? I know you're going to talk to LaQuisha later in the show.
Did not.
Jersey Shore. Snooki without her makeup.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Good?
Good. Better.
What?
So much better than how she usually looks.
Really?
Usually, almost in every situation with celebrities, it's the opposite.
The situation was also in the photo?
But in this particular case, she actually looks nicer without the makeup and the fake tan and the fake eyelashes and everything else.
How about that?
She looks like just a regular girl next door.
Not pretty, though, right?
No. Don't get me wrong. Just better.
All right.
She tweeted a picture of herself saying, no makeup day and IDC. That's IDC. I don't care if you speak Twitter. And everyone apparently is agreeing that with the straight hair, bare eyes, healthy-looking skin, she looks better than she does when she's all dolled up for karma.
She does have clown makeup, usually, when she puts it on. So.
And the news was everywhere yesterday. I don't know if you heard or not, but I'm shattered.
About?
The Priceline negotiator.
William Shatner? Yeah.
What's happening, Ralph?
What's happening?
Priceline is killing off his character.
No!
You mean they're discontinuing his use or they're killing him?
They're killing him.
Wow, that's rough.
They're not actually killing William Shatner, but his character, Priceline Negotiator! That guy.
I love the way he comes up to the counter at the hotel and does the Jedi mind tricks to get the lower rate.
I do too!
It's awesome!
You know he's been doing commercials then for 14 years?
Wow, no.
I didn't know it's been that long.
I would have guessed 4 or 5.
Me too.
And we heard that he got a sweet deal at the beginning with stocks, right? And has made millions of dollars off of the success of Priceline.
Yeah. Maybe they're tired of paying him. Maybe that's why he's going.
Could be.
But the commercial hit the internet yesterday. It'll be on television soon. It's him with some people in a bus on a bus tour. And the bus is about to go off a bridge.
Right.
And so he's helping people. That's like teetering on the side of the bridge, just seesawing back and forth. And he's helping people off the bus.
Right.
And as the last passenger of the bus, he hands him a cell phone and goes, save yourself some money. And then the bus just plunges off the side of the bridge and crashes into the embankment below.
So, wow.
No, the negotiator is no longer.
Very sad news.
It is very sad news.
Well, maybe his pop career has taken off, his music career.
Mama, just killed a man.
He's going to do this full time.
Mama.
Playing stadiums.
Just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead.
Mama.
Mama. Life had just begun. But now I've gone and thrown it all away.
What will he do for work, William Shatner?
He's the laziest man in show business.
He never has work.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Drummer Rob Borden of Linkin Park is 33 years old today. Is he the rapist from Linkin Park?
There's no rapist
in Linkin Park. No, I remember seeing it on the news.
They said there's a rapist on Linkin Park. We already went through this. That was an actual park called Linkin Park.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Linkin Park.
Excuse me, Kevin. We went to the tape. It existed.
That's on the news.
Right, but that's Linkin Park's
on
a place.
TV.
It's a place. I'm just saying it's not the band.
Skeet Ulrich. Remember Jericho? Nuts.
Oh, yeah.
42 years old today.
Barely, yeah.
Stacey Dash from Clueless is 45. She's still stunning. Rainn Wilson of The Office is 46 years old. Bassist Greg Kay of The Offspring turns 47. James Denton from Desperate Housewives is 49 years old. Lorenzo Lamas turns 54. TV host Bill Maher is 56. Ian Hill, bassist of Judas Priest, is 60, as is guitarist Paul Stanley of Kiss. Director David Lynch is 66.
Today is my birthday. It's 66 degrees outside, and I am also 66.
He does that still?
I don't know if he's still doing his weather update or not.
I haven't checked in a while. Last time I looked, he was, yeah, doing the weather every day on his website when he's home, right.
We might have to check that and find out.
And former astronaut Buzz Aldrin's 82 years
old. Oh, really? Buzz Aldrin's birthday today, huh?
Yeah. How about that? I'm Buzz.
And he's single this year on his birthday. Yeah. He's going to cash that chip in.
82. Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I used to know somebody.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 6. By the way, yesterday in the Internet Roundup, we had a great cover of that song, Gautier, somebody that I used to know. And it's like six or seven people around one guitar. They're all playing the same guitar. And
that seems unnecessary.
And singing, and it's impressive as hell.
It sounds great,
it
too.
Does. It does. And then you look at it, you go, how on earth are they doing that? But it's really pretty fantastic.
That is one of those songs, by the way, that is an instant classic. When you hear it, you go, yeah, that's a keeper. That one's going to be around for a long time. And the album is finally coming out next week. It has not been available domestically until next week, and it is on Spotify now, too, if you want to check it out. All right, Red Hot Chili Peppers, also Sublime with Rome, Foo Fighters, and more coming up, plus Ralph's got the movie beat. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention like we have, but something's going on with the all-new Kevin 2012. I don't know. This may be the best model of Kevin yet.
Come on now.
And there have been some classic Kevins throughout the years. You remember Kevin 96 was a great model, if you remember that one, Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin was on fire in 96. And then 2001, 2002, he had back-to-back championships. But 2012 is shaping up to the best year ever for our man Kevin. And by this, I mean he is generating moments with, which is kind of our tribute to meltdowns here on the Kevin and Bean Show, at an alarming rate. I mean, we are less than 3 weeks into the new year. And when you factor in Martin Luther King Day and weekends, Kevin, I mean, I don't even know how many moments with you're putting up per days that we're actually on the air, but you're on pace. I mean, this is a Barry Bonds year for you.
No, that's not the case, because what I'm doing is I'm loading up early in the year, and that way for the rest of the year, then I don't have to worry about it.
Listeners are already worried, though, and I got an email just like this yesterday. I don't have it in front of me, that you are going to dominate the top 10 moments with at the end of the year. They're like, hey, Kevin, step away from the microphone. Okay. Give Lisa a chance. Let Bean have one. Because so far it's been all monkey.
Right.
Right near the end of the show yesterday, we're in the home stretch. Kevin's gone on an entire day without a moment with, and this magic dropped on us.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Congratulations to Garrett DeJong of
Fountain Valley.
Fountain Valley, thank you. Just got the CD catalog from Green Day and qualified for that trip for two to see
Blink
them.
Blink 182.
What did I say?
Green Day.
That was a moment with Kevin.
So Bean wasn't even supposed to be a part of that.
Nope.
Like, no, that was all you.
He said, why don't you just go ahead and congratulate the winner? So I said, okay, fine. So basically my job was to congratulate the winner, and then Bean was going to talk about something else. So that's why he's like, nope. Fountain Valley, Blink 182.
Well, you
it's
had
when you were at the Grammys.
Totally. But you had about six words that you had to say, which is just the winner's name, the city, and what he won. That was about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, hey, Kevin, talk for 60 seconds about the assassination of Archbishop Franz Ferdinand. It wasn't one of those. It was just read what's on the card. And it was so spectacular. I loved it so much.
It was, and this is the point that scares me. It was written down right in front of me. So it's not like I'm trying to remember the info. So how does that happen?
How does that? No, we're asking you. How does that happen?
I'm asking
don't
you.
Don't ask us.
I don't know. I have no answer.
Well, look, Fountain Valley, very difficult word.
Yes.
Tough to get your head around.
I think what happened in that case is I can usually read my own writing better than, you know, somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have much time, so I was scribbling really quickly. And when I got to Fountain, I couldn't figure out what word it was. I couldn't read my own writing. So that probably didn't help much.
Where did Green Day come
how
from?
How am I supposed to know?
We haven't been giving away a Green Day prize for a couple of months now. Why was that on the tip of your tongue?
I have no answer for that. Fountain Valley was my writing that I couldn't read. Green Day, it just doesn't even make sense.
Now, this is on the heels of a moment with from a few days ago. Again, Kevin 2012, getting it done. If you missed this one, I think you'll enjoy it.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It's not a hard one, but if you heard it, but it is the way you heard it.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Now, let's see what that one could have tried to be. What was meant by that?
I can't even remember the context.
I think it was a contest that we were doing. We were like, people were trying to identify something played backwards or something like that. But I still can't figure out what you're trying to tell that person that would be useful.
I can't either.
Then we were on with the president, Dana White from UFC, and Kevin was excited about the potential of the UFC fights being presented in 3D. Dana, not as much of a 3D fan, but while they were on the topic, Kevin, I think, had some advice for everybody who's interested in watching stuff that way.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
By the way, just for the movie theaters, there's not one size that fits all.
Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
And again, I apologize for stepping in.
You jumped in, but I would like to suggest that I was getting it at that moment.
You actually did have it.
So I actually finally get it, but so at least you knew what I was talking about as compared to the last one where I can't even make sense of it myself.
No one to this day knows.
Right.
Now, you're not waking up after a coma. It's not the end of 2012 yet. We're looking back on the best 10 moments with. This is all from the first 3 weeks of the year.
Come on.
Kevin has been on fire. And there are two kinds of moments with. There are the ones where the words get all screwed up and you can't finish the sentence. And then there are just the complete and total brain farts, like your Green Day yesterday, yeah, where something just comes out of your mouth and not even you know where it is. And I think this is more sort of that thing, and also not paying attention either. And I think that that played very much into play with this one.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
By the way, nothing good has ever happened at 4:30 in the morning.
But a lot of good has. A lot of good happens.
What just happened?
I'm saying a lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning. It's just this
He's
is.
Saying nothing
but you're
good.
You said nothing.
You
good.
Said that to, right. her, to his statement. That nothing good.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That one I can explain.
Can you?
Yeah. What happened at 4:30 in the morning, or whatever he was talking about, was bad.
Uh-huh.
Was bad.
Right.
Yes.
But
right.
That doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't good things that happen there at 4:30 in the morning as well.
But I think that's what Ralph's conclusion was based on the story. And this was Jeremy Renner getting knifed in a bar fight in Thailand. And, right. And he was saying nothing good ever happens at 4:30. Don't be out at 4:30. You were disagreeing with him.
I'm not saying that I'm made sense in that situation, but I am saying that there are also good things that happen. Nothing that happens is a bit of an exaggeration because there are also a lot of good things. However, having said that, it was clear I wasn't listening to Ralph at all.
Right.
No.
When he said nothing good happens, clearly that just went in one ear and out the other.
You keep on pace with this.
I'm not going to keep on pace with
this. I think at the end of the year, a Lifetime Achievement Award may be in your...
Kevin's already in the Hall of Fame. I don't know how to honor a man any more than that.
I'm the only one in the Hall of Fame.
Except maybe you'll be the best person in the Hall of Fame of all time ever. But I'm telling you, here's my advice to you kids. We're only in January here. Don't miss a single sweet day of the Kevin Beach Show, because this is history in the making.
All right.
Well done.
Glad to be a part.
MMA fighter turned movie star Gina Carano joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Haywire is one of the movies opening up this weekend, and Ralph is here with the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Welcome to my world.
Interesting batch of films opening up in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. A little something for everybody. Starting off with Red Tails. This is the true story of the Tuskegee Airmen.
Oh.
Group of African-American pilots in World War II who faced segregation and were kept mostly on the ground during the battles, but they're called into duty under the guidance of a Colonel A.J. Bullard, who got them into the air and fighting the Krauts and the Japanese and anyone else who would dare to take on our liberties. Hooah! Cuba Gooding Jr. stars in the film, along with Bryan Cranston and Terrence Howard. Brought to you by George Lucas. Believe it or not, he is the producer behind all this. Yeah,
he didn't direct, did he?
No, he did not direct.
Oh, thank God.
Jar Jar Binks is one of the pilots?
Anthony Hemingway, luckily, was the director. Yeah, it wouldn't be great to see a little... little Anakin Skywalker with one of those pod racers flying through the air.
Just getting shot first thing.
This is, by all accounts, a very inspirational story of the African-American serviceman who helped fight for freedom in World War II. Here's a scene from the film. Terrence Howard is talking to his pilots, the Tuskegee Airmen.
You getting one Jerry so you can put a cross on your plane. That doesn't balance that. We count our victories by the bombers we get to their targets, by the husbands we return to their wives, by the fathers we get back to their children. What has not changed, what will never change, from the last plane to the last bullet to the last minute to the last man we fight.
Yes, sir!
Ah, come on, doesn't that make you want to go kill some Jerrys?
That sounds pretty good.
It does sound good. The other thing I have a little bit of a problem with is how they're trying to sell it on television. Have you seen the commercials?
I have.
Yeah.
What is it that bugs you?
I just think you're talking down to your target audience. I can see maybe you want to get African Americans into the theaters to see this because it certainly is an important story,
right,
in African American history. But the commercial's like, yeah, Red Tails. It's like, all right, this isn't Step Up 3, okay? This is a World War II movie.
Maybe they danced as well.
I don't know if they had dubstep beats back in World War II.
Maybe they danced to dubstep as well.
Glenn Miller and his band were actually cranking out the crunk back in 1941. I'm just saying.
I'd like it.
I'd like it, too. I just wish they were selling it a little bit more appropriately. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Also opening up this weekend, Haywire, Gina Carano. Legendary female MMA fighter stars in this film by Steven Soderbergh. He enjoys taking actors that may not necessarily you might think of first and foremost for certain genres and building films around them. Yep. He did it with Sasha Grey, porn star Sasha Grey, when he did The Girlfriend Experience, which was another experimental film, made a dramatic actress out of her. And he's doing the same thing with Gina Carano. In this film, she plays a black op super soldier who has to seek payback when she is betrayed by the very people she works with. She's set up during a mission, and she takes out her aggressions on the rest of the cast. The smart thing Soderbergh does when he has sort of a newbie actor in a lead role is surrounds them with great talent, and this film certainly has that. You got Michael Fassbender, Ewan McGregor also in this film. Channing Tatum stars alongside Gina Carano. Now, there has been some talk about Gina's performance being dubbed in by another actress.
The voice completely changed.
Yeah, her vocal performance was completely dubbed in by another actress.
Right.
The story we're hearing is Steven wanted to separate her in the ring persona with her on-screen persona, and so thought giving the actress a completely different voice would separate those two characters.
That makes sense.
Really?
Well, sort of.
Does it?
Well, we're talking to Gina.
Does it make sense?
Yes, it does.
Does it really make sense?
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
What's happening?
I'm just asking if it
Ralph's
makes
questioning
sense.
If it makes sense. And
I just think Dwayne The Rock Johnson came out of the ring and went on the big screen. They didn't have to bring in, you know, Russell Brand to do his vocal performance.
Talking to Gina Carano.
I'll be curious to hear what her answer is to this question.
Right. You want Kevin to explain why Hulk Hogan can do both, but Gina Carano can't.
Here's a scene from the film where Gina Carano is threatening Ewan McGregor.
You can tell me right now why you sold me out and what you're into with Studer, or you can tell me in 10 minutes when I have my hands around your throat.
You need to think for a minute, Mallory. You need to stop pretending you can achieve a desirable outcome in this situation and turn yourself in.
Surrender now if you want to live.
I'm sorry, Mallory, that's not possible.
All right, Kenneth, we'll do it your way.
She's here.
Here, where?
In the house. Trax says she's in the house. Go.
The calls are coming from inside the house.
Inside the house. I've been doing my ass-kicking series.
Yes, you have.
Women who kick ass in theaters, and today is Gina Carano. She'll be up right now. She's a looker.
She sure is.
And she's an
very
actual
attractive and
MMA fighter.
Real athlete, yeah. And by all accounts, the fight scenes in this film are tremendous. I just wish they hadn't replaced her with an actress who has had a throat box.
Yeah.
That was weird.
I'm coming for you. And you have a chance to apologize now, or I will be on you.
What happened to her larynx? That I was concerned. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close is expanding this weekend into wider release. This is the story of the 9-year-old son of a man who dies in the World Trade Center on September 11th, leaves behind a key to his son, and his son goes on an adventure trying to find the lock that matches that mysterious key, while also discovering more about his relationship with his dad. I'm sure this is a great film. I am going to pass. However,
this looks great to me.
It just looks devastating.
And the kid has Asperger's.
Yes,
on top of it,
he just looks emotionally devastating. I don't know.
But
if
he's got Asperger's,
it.
He's not emotionally anything.
How dare you, sir?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's got no emotions.
He can hear you. He's right here. He can hear you.
I'm not the guy in the movie, guys. It didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, I thought it did. Here's a brilliant little actor named Thomas Horn who plays the 9-year-old Oscar asking a lady questions about his dad, played in flashback by Tom Hanks.
People tell me I'm very odd all the time. I got tested once to see if I had Asperger's disease. Dad said it's for people who are smarter than everybody else but can't run straight. Tests weren't definitive. Are you sure you didn't know him? Thomas Shaw? He was in the building in 9/11. I'm trying to find a lock for this key that was in the envelope that once belonged to my father.
Sorry, I don't know anything about the key or your father.
Wow. I'll tell you what I know about Asperger's is that they don't give other people a chance to talk.
that kid was too annoying for me.
The little kid was like, hey, how about just letting him breathe for a minute? I'm getting a response from the woman.
You listen to that clip close, you can hear him breathe very heavily and typing in the background.
And looking at maps. All of the above.
And also this weekend, this is the one I personally...
Underworld!
No. This is the film I personally have been looking forward to. Underworld Awakening. Kate Beckinsale returns in the battle of the vampires versus the lycans.
Versus the people.
Well, that's the thing. Mankind has stepped in, and now they're trying to eradicate both species. So the vampire warrioress, Selene, needs to lead the battle against humankind. So they have to sort of combine forces to take on a common enemy in Underworld Awakening. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Vampires and lycans are now the hunted.
If we are to survive as a species, we must resist the humans.
Something else escaped.
It's a girl.
She's the only hybrid child who has ever existed.
She is the key to winning this war.
Humankind will never be as powerful as us. No matter how hard you fight, you won't win.
You don't know me very well.
Love it.
Yeah. Just put Kate Beckinsale in a leather cat suit and just let her run around for 2 hours on my my movie screen, and I'm a happy
You're
little
good?
Fella.
Good
I'm a happy
that?
Little fella, yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Writer, director, actor, friend of the show, Kevin Smith, joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up, and Cousin Sal takes a look at the NFL games this weekend. Very excited about the football just ahead. First, though, we haven't talked much about this story, but it has captured the attention of the world, this awful cruise ship accident that happened off the coast of Italy, the Costa Concordia. You've seen this. The ship is still out there laying on its side. You guys have seen this video, right?
Yeah.
It's insane. It looks like something out of a Michael Bay movie, but apparently it got too close to the rocks and it tipped over. Thousands of people on board. So far, 11 dead, but still a couple of dozen missing. They're blowing holes into the sides of the boat to try to get in to see if maybe somebody got lucky and is inside still in an air pocket or something like that. But the reason this story has attracted so much attention is because, and you don't see this very often, the captain did not go down with the ship in this case.
Now, that's a rule, I guess, that's been through the ages.
Yes.
If you're the captain of a ship and it goes over, you have to stay. You are the last man off.
Absolutely.
In this particular case, though, it's really weird because not only did he leave early, he said that he fell. He said he was helping people off the ship and tripped and fell in the lifeboat. That's his answer. I tripped and fell in the lifeboat. And then the Coast Guard told him to go back, and he said, oh, it's all good. Everybody's out. And he took a cab home.
Yes, he did.
Now put him on house arrest because they're still looking for people that are missing.
Yeah, and it was hours before everybody else got off the
ship.
Right.
It is amazing. His name is Captain Francesco Schettino. He is Italian. He has been dubbed by the world press as Captain Coward for leaving while passengers still needed his help. And you're not going to believe this.
He fell.
He tripped into a lifeboat against the advice of his attorneys. Apparently, the captain has a lot on his mind and is asked to speak with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we have Captain Schettino on the line with us right now. Hello, Captain. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you do, Kevin and Bean? Hey, what's up with you guys?
Well, we're doing a little better than you are, I think.
Don't forget. About it. I'm doing great. Don't you worry about me.
But what about you're the captain of a ship and now lots of people are dead? What about that?
Hey, what are you going to do?
Well,
I did stay and help. I help everybody off the boat. I was there. I was there the whole time.
But wait, you weren't there the whole time. You didn't help everybody off the boat. You were in one of the lifeboats early on in the process, and then you said that you tripped and fell in it.
I thought we got everybody. I counted one, two, three, about 12 people. I said, that's got to be it. But let's go.
There's 4,200 people on your ship.
Hey, how am I supposed to know that? I can't keep track of everybody.
Because you're the captain, and that's your job, is to know what's behind you. That's why.
Hey, look, I'm the captain, okay? I'm not Isaac the bartender, okay?
Right.
I'm not talking to everybody, chit-chat with everybody on the deck. Oh, let me count. Oh, there's 4,000 people. But, I figured, 10, 12 people, that's got to be enough.
But yeah, the lifeboat thing, tell us about that. You didn't trip.
I was helping so many people.
Right.
I pick up a baby.
Right, sure.
I pick up a women.
Uh-huh.
I pick up crippled people.
Right.
I pick up dogs and cats. I pick up a bunny rabbit.
Right.
I pick up old men.
Okay, fine.
I pick up old women.
Okay, but then there were still 4,000.
I pick up a guy who had a bigger nose.
Right.
And I pick up another guy who got a little bit of smaller nose.
Right.
Okay.
And I pick up a lady who got a big bosom.
All right, get to the part where you stop picking up people.
And I held on to her for a while.
Yeah.
And oh, did
I put her in a lifeboat.
Right.
And the next thing I know, I just fell. I could not help it.
So you fell in the lifeboat.
Yeah, I think I tripped over a terrorist. Yeah, that's it. I tripped over a terrorist.
There were no terrorists involved in this.
Yeah, there were. I was like Harrison Ford at Air Force One.
No,
off of my ship.
No, you're trying to blame other people again.
And the terrorist tripped me. That's what happened. He tripped me.
That didn't happen at all.
He tripped me with one of those headbands they wear, with the thing on the head, on the wrap around the head they wear.
There was no
turban. I think the word is turban that you're looking for.
A turban. He tripped me in a turban.
You did a terrible job piloting your own ship, and then you abandoned ship while people were dying. That's what happened here, Captain Coward.
Hey, were you there?
I was not there.
You were there on the ship.
I cannot say that I was.
That's right. You weren't there.
There's a lot of news reports from people that were there, though.
But they were drunk.
Yeah, sure.
Most of them so drunk, they couldn't even. They thought that we were. They thought they were watching the Titanic movie. That's how drunk they were.
They didn't.
They're like, oh, this 3D is really realistic.
And then they started looking for the captain. You were gone.
Oh, no, I was there. I was in disguise. Yeah, that's it. I was in the disguise.
You were in disguise.
Yeah. I figured, if they see the captain, they might get nervous. But if I am disguised as a hobo, then they won't be so worried about it.
Okay, you're just making stories up.
And I put a little cigar butt in my mouth, and I walk around and say, hey, everybody, follow me. I'm a helpful hobo. And then I fell. I can't help it. I fall a lot. No.
You're not falling.
Things are being knocked over in my house because I'm so clumsy.
Wow,
we're not buying it, Captain. Seriously, you're in trouble, dude.
I was banging a lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're getting the truth.
And I pressed her up against the steering wheel.
Right.
And next thing you know, I hit an island.
Right.
Well, that's understandable.
And she was so hot, though.
Then she was on the lifeboat, and you wanted to go with her.
Well, I was done, so I put her on a lifeboat hoping she'd go away. Right. Everybody go away, it turns out. It was one expensive piece of ass. I can tell you that.
Sounds like it. All right. Imagine so. Now we got to the truth.
Sure. Thank you, Lisa. That was fantastic. It's a world-famous K-Rock at 6:54.
What are you eating now, Kevin?
I'm not eating anything.
No, I'm not eating anything.
Muggs was standing in the way.
Potterbus!
He was in the way. All right. I couldn't get here.
What's happening? This show's not going to make it to February. Gina Carano, star of Haywire. Kevin Smith, next hour. Both coming up here on the Kevin Beach. Wait, the bell's for Gina, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's happening?
Yeah, Kevin just tweeted he's on his way into the studio.
How dare you?
Not you, Kevin Smith.
Oh.
To talk to you guys.
Still mocking me.
And as he tweeted, his lover, Ralph Garman, which it doesn't help Kevin at all, if you're listening. It doesn't help our situation. Enough people are making those jokes as it is, for God's sakes.
That's true.
Last week, we were both doing Hollywood Babylon. We both had colds. So everybody's like, oh, I see. The man love finally caught up to you.
Might as well just go with it, though.
Look, right? I'm just as God made me. I can't help myself. Mm-hmm. I'm wildly attracted to that little fella. Can't help myself. Let's talk about showbiz news. Is Kelly Osbourne off the wagon?
She seemed like she had it pretty much together for a while.
She had her second stint in rehab back in 2009. She has certainly come a long way since then, lost a ton of weight, has been working a bunch. And by working, I mean talking about dresses that people wear.
But at the Golden Globes, reportedly, she had been seen, or several people claimed to have seen her boozing it up. One partygoer says she was so wasted, at one point she almost fell back and I had to catch her.
Oh.
Now, Kelly has famously said that after she left rehab, she didn't think she would quit drinking altogether because she thought her problem was pills. So she thought she could still have a few cocktails and be able to manage. Now, Kelly is claiming that she was not drinking at all. She tweeted on January the 19th. Is that today?
Today's the 20th. 20th.
Yesterday. Then. That's funny, Radar. I guess they're talking about radaronline.com where some of these reports were cited. Because I was not even at any of these after parties. I was working. I will say this till I'm blue in the face. I do enough stupid S, you don't need to make things up.
Well, that's true.
So she is defending herself, saying it was not the case. So believe it or don't, but some people are saying she might have...
So that means she blacked out and doesn't remember being at the parties.
That's what I like to think.
Yeah. Right.
Sad, sad, sad news. Kenny G and his wife are divorcing.
Oh.
I know.
Kenny G's married to a woman?
If saxophone virtuoso Kenny G can't make his relationships work, what hope do the rest of us have? He and his wife, Lindy, are separating after 20 years of marriage.
Wow.
Can you imagine 20 years of that... Shut up! Oh, sweet Jesus. The woman's a saint.
Yeah.
They are legally separated. They have to start carving up his estate, which, by the way, Kenny G, how much do you reckon Kenny G is worth?
I think with all of his Christmas albums and stuff, it's a lot.
$50 million.
Wow!
My.
I was thinking like 20. $50 million.
Kenny G has hired our favorite celebrity divorce attorney, Laura Wasser. Wasser. We love Laura Wasser.
She's the best, first of all.
We love Laura. She is the best. She was the attorney for Britney Spears and Kim Kardashian. And his wife has hired Hollywood's celebrity divorce attorney, Gary Fishburne. Boo! Boo, Gary! I love that we have sides to take when it comes to divorce lawyers.
Yeah.
Well, we all have one in our Rolodex.
Yeah. Look, if I ever get divorced, Laura Wasser, she's my first phone call.
Right.
You listening, Laura? Last time we didn't mention Laura's name, she got upset. So I want to make sure to give her props. Give mad love to Laura Wasser.
What went wrong with Kenny G, though? Was he whoring around, or do we know?
It does not say what the problem was. Irreconcilable differences. I'm reckoning.
Just that sax playing. I think you might have been onto it at the beginning.
Yeah, I think she either divorced him or stuck that thing in his butt. I mean, it was the only two options she had left. And I think she took the nonviolent approach, and I commend Lindy Benson Gorelickhav for that.
Yeah, that's a terrible sounding instrument, that little tenor sax or whatever it's called.
It sure is.
Dude's made $50 million with that.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Apparently a lot of money in playing in elevators. Today's celebrity birthdays. Former astronaut Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin is 82 years old.
American hero.
He's the guy. Yeah, he's an American hero because he went to the moon. But we had him in. It was the most boring interview ever.
Oh, the worst.
And he's also the guy in Dancing with the Stars that said,
I'm Buzz.
Do we have that clip of him being a total perv? Do we have that? He meets his dance partner, who is a tasty little dish. And he, you know, it's not surprising he got divorced shortly after he was on Dancing with the Stars because he was just slobbering all over him.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz. When I first met Ashley, I thought, this is a really cute babe. This is going to be a real treat.
Yeah, real
I'm
treat.
Buzz.
You're a cute babe. I'm Buzz.
I'm Buzz.
I don't even need to use my last name.
Want to see my lunar lander?
I'm Buzz.
Yeah. You want to see my moon rocks? Yeah. You want to see my twin separation launch rocket boosters?
All right, that one didn't work so well.
Not as well, but the other ones were good.
David Lynch, director, 66 years old today. Paul Stanley of Kiss is 60. Judas Priest bassist Ian Hill turns 60 as well. Bill Maher, funny man, TV show host, 56 years old. James Denton of Desperate Housewives is 49. Greg Kay of Offspring's 47. Rainn Wilson from The Office is 46. Skeet Ulrich from As Good As It Gets and Jericho, 42 years old. Rob Borden, our pal from Linkin Park, is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
With a background of Muay Thai and boxing, welcome the sensational young star. Introducing Gina
hardcore. What's the most feminine thing about you?
My boobs.
Would you ever pose for Playboy?
No.
Gina should go for that choke. Is Evinger going to survive? Oh, it's over! Gina Carano submits Tonya Evinger! Gina Conviction Carano.
Conviction. I need a cool nickname like Conviction.
I know. That is actually pretty strong. Gina Carano back on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's not just for in the ring anymore. You can see her on big screens all over America starting today in a film called Haywire, directed by the great Oscar winner Steven Soderbergh. Gina, welcome back to the show, my dear. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
This must be very exciting for you. I mean, you've done a lot of amazing things in your life that, I mean, must be moments where you look around and go, how is this happening to me? But you are now on a press tour for a major motion picture. I don't think you probably saw this one coming, right?
No, I didn't. And I didn't really realize that I wouldn't be sleeping for about 2.5 weeks either.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm so excited for it to come out today.
I imagine it has to be sort of like a baby, like you've been waiting for it forever. Are you the type of person that are going to get texts all weekend long about how it's doing, or do you not want to know?
I don't know. I think I might just turn off my phone and stay inside my house for today at least.
How did you get involved in this project with Steven Soderbergh? Did you try out for it? Did they come to you? What happened?
I just lost that fight to Cyborg actually, and I went to San Diego and I was like, oh my, that didn't go as planned, you know. And then my agent calls me. He's like, look, we got this director that wants to meet you. And I was like, I don't think you want me meeting any director right now. I have a black eye. I'm like a wreck. And he was like, no, it's Steven Soderbergh, and he wants to meet you, so you're going to meet him. And I was like, okay, I don't really know who that is, but okay.
Well, I'm glad you took his word for it, because Soderbergh is quite a name.
I am too. Well, he said that he did Traffic, and I always really, you know, was touched by that movie.
Yeah.
So I went and picked him up at the train station, and we had a four-hour lunch. And at the end of the lunch, he was like, look, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to do, you know, an action film with you, and would you be interested? And I was like, Yeah, okay.
Wow. But, I mean, this isn't just like, hey, show up for 10 minutes in my movie. This is be the star of the movie and be in it from start to finish. I mean, did you have any idea how much work you were signing on for?
No idea. I mean, even right now, I had no idea what goes into press junkets. I've been busting my ass for the last, like, I don't know how long trying to promote this, and I didn't realize that this is a crazy full-time job, you know? Like, your life does not become your own. And I kind of enjoy that because, you know, I just keep me busy, you know?
Yeah. And then you have Channing Tatum, and you have Michael Fassbender, and you have Ewan McGregor, and you have Antonio Banderas, and you have Michael Douglas, and you have Bill Paxton. I mean, it seems like a ridiculous cast.
And Michael Ingarano.
Yes.
Also in there. I know. And they're some of the most genuine, amazing people I've ever met. Like, I was fans of theirs before, but now I'm more of like a fan of the human beings that they are because, I mean, the guys that I have fight scenes with just completely were like, you know, we don't want any stunt doubles. And it was really cool because if I would have fought those same fight scenes with a stunt guy, it would have been way too perfect. But since I fought it with Channing, Ewan, and Fassbender, they brought such personality to the
right
fight. Each and every one of them completely special.
I wanted to ask you the same question we asked Randy Couture when he was doing The Expendables, and that's most actors have to learn how to fight to be in a fight movie. You have to learn how to not fight, right? I mean, how to not hurt people, how to hold back.
Yeah, but you know what? You still kind of get banged up. I mean, you know, stunt guys are some of the most hardcore athletes I've ever been around. And so you still get like banged up and you still put your body out there in a serious way. But it's more like for the love of it and for the ultimate, you know, fight scene. What, you know, it's not like egos. It's not going into a gym
right.
And like, oh, hell, who do I have to spar today? It's like, you know, yay, we get to smash each other into stuff and let it be okay kind of thing.
I love, I saw an interview with one of your co-stars, Ewan McGregor, who you have a fight scene with, and this is the voice of Gina Carano. We're talking about her film Haywire opening up today. Ewan was saying, it was no pressure for me going in there and fighting with Gina because clearly she was going to kick my ass. I didn't have to worry about feeling bad or looking bad because, let's face it, there's no other possible outcome than she's going to kick my ass. So I could just relax and enjoy it, which I thought was hilarious that he said that.
I think that's just so sexy that he says that, because usually it's the complete opposite. Usually I'm getting guys that are like trying to like size me up and kind of like figure out how they're going to take me. And
yeah, so, they don't want to look bad. They don't want you to make them look bad, but you certainly can, and at least Ewan McGregor has enough self-confidence that he doesn't worry about that.
Well, Well, he's a freaking Jedi, Kevin. Of course he does.
What's he like? What's Ewan McGregor like as a person?
He is completely lovely. I mean, I cannot, like, he was almost intimidating on how natural he is. Like, he's just so incredibly comfortable in his skin that it's like, geez, man, like, anything could be happening, and he'd either have something really funny to say, or, like, he would just be like, you know, it is what it is.
Huh. You know, keep going. Gina, do you have the serious acting bug now? I mean, is this going to be your career now? Are you completely done with fighting? Are you going to try to do both? Where's your head at this moment?
Well, my head at is finally, this movie is coming out, and finally I'm going to be able to get on the other side of it and land. And, you know, I don't pretend to think that Hollywood is, like, the place where people are just like, yes, come, you know, come be a part of our
right.
careers. So I'm just really kind of seeing, like, how people, you know, receive it, which has been very positive so far. And I think I'll just take it as it comes after this.
Is more fighting a possibility?
It again.
Is more fighting a possibility?
It is. You know, I got to do what I got to do to, like, you know, make a living for myself. And, you know, that's always been, you know, what I've done for the last 9 years. Of course, it would be nice to have a career where it could be a little bit longer than that.
Sure.
And I would really like to represent my sport and mixed martial arts, and because I feel like people have received these fight scenes so well, so it's like, oh my gosh, we just were like touching on it. Like, that was like the first time that we've ever done anything like that.
I know you have to go. We have Gina Carano on the phone. I do have a clip from the movie that I think will explain everything that you need to know. So there you go. That's the clip from the movie.
Sounds good. The film is called Haywire. Opens up everywhere today.
I'm sorry. What? What was that, Gina?
I love that clip. It sounded like a Bruce Lee movie.
It definitely gets the message out there. Gina, always great to talk to you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, thank you guys.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening into the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Cousin Sal is going to be here to talk football for us next hour. He's the one who picked the Packers, like the rest of the world, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, I think everyone did. Yeah. Right, yeah. All right. So he'll be in making more tremendous picks for you coming up next hour. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, you know the Kevin and Bean Show is back for 2012 with our first appearance in the new year of our friend Kevin Smith.
Oh, my Lord. That's right.
First, I'm happy New Year, Kevin.
For the New Year, I decided to go with a different persona. I only answer with one-word questions.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead. Uh-huh. Ask me something.
So what do you think of SOPA?
Mm-hmm.
Bad radio in 2012. That's what I believe in.
You came to the right show.
Hey, I was at LAX yesterday. Yes. I went to Canyon Ranch this week with my wife for a vacation. Okay. It was lovely. We'll get to it in a minute. I had a lot of sex, but I come in on this American Eagle plane, tiny as hell. You want to talk about, I would have gladly bought two seats. We land, they bus you over from the little terminal to the main terminal.
Right.
I'm hanging on a strap on the bus. Dude in front of me goes, my wife loves it when you're on Kevin and Bean. And I was like, that sounds dirty. but I do too. I said, thank you very much. And then he goes, and it's quiet for a bit. And then he goes, at Bean, he's an excellent interviewer.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding, dude.
Wow.
Unsolicited.
That's weird.
Out of nowhere, he goes, that Bean is an excellent interviewer. And I said, what about Kevin? Quiet beat. He goes, he likes soccer.
There's a guy who has summed up the show in just a very few words.
I was like, wow, man.
He's got that going for him.
That's the very definition of this show.
I thought he would say, like, not as good an interviewer or something along the same lines.
He's trying to be positive.
That closed me down because I'm like, hey, man, I could talk for hours with Kevin. Like, right then and there, I was like, this discussion's over. But I would have taken it the next step and been like, Lisa's cute. He's shapely. Dave, the king of Mexico, is hung. It was really weird, though, that somebody
that is weird. It's weird the things that people pick up on, too, out of all the things they can say. It's weird what they do.
That's why I wanted to talk to him. I was like, you would think he's a good interviewer? This dude lives in Seattle and he wears furry costumes.
That's true.
But
how dare you?
I thought that was so nice. Like, out of nowhere.
It's very kind. Thank you for listening if you're still with us. Let me ask you this. So was this just a romantic, hey, let's just get out of the house and go away for the weekend kind of thing that you and your wife did?
This was a Christmas gift to wound up being to each other. I was going to get her a Christmas gift to, like, go away. She likes going to health trips and stuff. Obviously not me. I like, you know, she wanted to go to Cannon Ranch. I was like, let's go to Battle Creek, Michigan. She's like, is there a spa there? I was like, no, that's where Kellogg's is. And we can see how they make the pre-sweetened cereal. It'll be amazing. So she was like, you should do this with me. She'd been there a few times before and whatnot. And she's like, you should come. It'll be fine. Like, I hate eating alone and stuff. I was like, all right, I don't have to work out. And she said, no. I said, all right, I'll go. So I went, and it was pretty nice. It's a place where, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's not cheap.
Right.
While you're there, you can take advantage of it, do lots of activities, hiking,
yoga. They don't have those activity leaders that force you into everything?
They don't, thank God. They don't rail you. I mean, every once in a while, you go to breakfast. There's three meals a day. You go, you know, they don't give you food any other time. So when the meals happen, everyone flocks to the main house.
Right.
And I saw a board for classes. And I know they have classes, but they never force you into it. One class I saw, it said, is your environment making you fat? And I was like, hell yeah. I just kept going.
yeah, it's the environment. You didn't take the class.
No, I was like, I know the answer. I knew it was like knowing the ending to Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
So what I did, though, was I did massages all week, like various massages.
So you massage people?
No. Oh. I wanted to. That would have been amazing. Nobody would let me do it. I took them. I received. I was a
really?
Taker this week.
I hate those so much.
Yeah, man.
I don't like people touching me.
Massage is like one of the few great advantages of having
it's
a couple.
Amazing.
You're
yeah.
talking to Asperger's guy, though. He doesn't want people touching
him. I can't contact. Stand people touching me. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I don't even say it. Nor I was going to say, normally I'm with you. I don't mind people touching me, but especially in this situation, like, go ahead, man. Touch like crazy. I'll let them touch me in places my wife don't.
Touch the hell out of me.
Yeah, touch it hard.
They don't touch me enough in most massages I've been to. There's parts they leave out I wish they would
get
to.
Yeah, you're like, keep going. We're not done here. Happy ending. I'm sitting there about to get massaged, right? And this is, I'm such a... I don't take my shirt off even in front of my wife. I don't take my shirt off in the shower and stuff like that. I haven't taken my shirt off since I was 10.
Okay.
I always have it on no matter where I'm doing. Even on vacation, we were having sex. She's like, we're on vacation. Take your shirt off. I'm like, no, not until we're closer to the grave. Because I'm afraid she's going to see, you know, what happens. She's always saying, like, I want to feel your skin. I was like, it's just, there's too much. You don't have enough hands. If I let it all go at once, just take this.
You're afraid, like, if you take off your shirt, that'll end it?
Totally.
Like, she'll no longer be into you?
She'll be like, not only do you have boobs, but they're bigger than mine. And they're starting to sag goodbye. So we're there, and I'm going to get the massage, and this is my first day, and one of the first massages I'm getting is they stand on your back. It's called what's it called? Shih Tzu. Shih Tzu.
And hey!
It's a real word.
What's the language?
Shih Tzu. That's it. Shih Tzu. So they stand on you and they hold bars. This chick holds bars over you and walks on your back.
Yeah.
And she's holding herself aloft. Instead of using her hands, she uses her feet like a monkey. It was insanely good. But before that happened, I get in. I look up. I see bars on the roof. I'm
right.
Like, oh, come on. Like, this is way too much. I just want to get rubbed down. She's like, this is amazing, blah, blah, blah. She walks you through it and stuff. I'm listening, and I go, okay, so essentially you're using your hands like they're prehensile. And she's like, what?
Yeah, I don't know that word either.
Well, I think she thought that I was being like, hello, would you like a little prehensile tail?
Hey.
And I was like, no, I mean, like monkeys, like they, you know, their tails can pick stuff up. You're using your hands. She's like, oh, like, yeah, okay. And she's staring at me, awkward, and I felt like, oh, my God, did she really think, like, this isn't dirty.
So
like,
she's thinking, do I need to go get another masseuse?
Yes. That's what I think. She's looking at me and she's like, do I have to get somebody else to touch your fat ass, buddy? I lay down, get the massage. And she's very sweet and whatnot. Afterwards come the words. Now, mind you, I've had my shirt off.
Right.
And when I get up, I just want to tell you, I'm a huge fan.
Oh,
and I'm like, God, no.
That's awesome.
A fan? No, that's not awesome. A fan seeing you without your shirt on?
You want that to be a complete stranger.
That's currency, man. Kevin. Somewhere in the world, she can spend that. She can be like, I've seen it. It's like the Loch Ness Monster. It's crazy. His shirt came off and like Sasquatch came between his boobs, like from out between his boobs, I should say. Like, you've never seen this before. Like, suddenly there's somebody out there that knows. My wife doesn't even know.
Right, yeah. But she saw it and she's cool with it.
Well,
that's
now,
cool. That's
to my
it.
Face, but I'm sure she closed the door. She was like,
Kevin,
come on.
I know that.
In the break room, she's telling all kinds of stories.
Exactly. She's going,
I know
she's like, did you ever see that movie?
Kevin, like, you're self-conscious because it's you, but let's face it. She sees fatter guys than you every single day. I mean, you know she does.
I got to be honest with you.
You're not crazy fat like a lot of people
that's
are.
Not,
you
but,
know that.
Well, here's the thing. You've never seen me out of a shirt. Like, I may not be crazy fat, but I'm carrying flab chub. I'm more like a Batman utility belt full of empty flab around my waist. So
I guarantee she sees worse every day.
Maybe
would you agree, Ralph?
All right, maybe she does, but those dudes are 60 and 70. When a 41-year-old man comes in looking as bad as me, you know she's going
to
go out in the world and be like,
I think
this
too
dude is,
to that.
The difference he's not only is he too fat to fly, he's too fat to live. Look at him. Too fat to rub down.
Is,
too fat to finish.
I didn't have time to walk.
Crawling all over his back. Yeah, she's like, I got a quarter of a way.
I'm exhausted. I was like, I walked for a half a mile today.
It's like doing the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
The difference is, Kevin has a point, is when she sees a regular fat guy, she's in there, she forgets about that 5 minutes later. She's on the next client.
He's not fat.
The Kevin absolutely. Smith. He's absolutely right.
The Kevin
right?
Smith adventure, she's going to recount and remember forever.
Oh, and not a good way. Not, she's not going to be by herself, flipping the bean, if you will, going, oh, Kev, fat Kev Smith. She can be in a room full of people going, sit down, like C-3PO talking to the Ewoks. Let me tell you the story of the most horrible Sarlacc pit I almost fell into.
This is going to take some time, so have a seat.
Oh, it was hard.
All right. We need
but
to
a great place. Go to it. Great place.
We need to press pause right here. We'll be back in a moment with Kevin Smith. He is in town this weekend, by the way, with the Hollywood Babylon show at the John Lovitz Theater. That's going to be tomorrow night. That's with our own Ralph Garman.
I've heard good things about that.
For just $20,
man.
By the way.
We sold out last few weeks, man. Yeah.
JohnLovitzComedyClub.com. And don't forget, if you want to get there early and make a double feature out of it, also at the John Lovitz, is your friend John Lovitz himself, who's going to be doing his ABCs of SNL. Now, do we know ahead of time who his guests are going to be for tomorrow night, Kevin, or no?
Generally,
that's a surprise.
So far, what we've done with that show is just we're getting through his career on SNL. So this time around, I think we're up to season 3 or 4. I sit there and talk to him about it. So once we're done, the idea would be once we're done going over his career at SNL, then he could sit down with, I don't know, Dana Carvey or anybody that he knows, and he can really get into it. But just to get him going, I was going to interview him until he's finished. And right now, I think we're up to season 4. And he's excellent at raconteur, and the stories he tells
he's
really
hilarious.
Funny.
He's hilarious. And by the way, speaking of SNL, and I know that we're late, but many people thought that was you making an appearance over the holidays on SNL when Horatio Sanz came out.
I saw that on Twitter a lot. On Twitter,
a lot of people were like, oh, Kevin Smith's on SNL. What's up?
I got tweets like, congrats, you finally made it on SNL. And I was like, I did? And it turned out it was Horatio
Sanz.
You
should just write back, you're welcome.
Yeah, right. Hey, thanks, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. All right,
I thought you looked good, too.
Thank you, sir.
We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Always so much fun to talk to Kevin Smith during the songs. And that's what made you think, hey, I need a podcast, right? Because the good stuff is off the air, right, Kevin?
Oh, God, yes. That's when all the magic happens. Speaking of podcasts, can I give a shout out to somebody who crushed this weekend? Me and Ralph do podcasts, of course, every weekend. Most people who listen here know because we see them in our audience every Saturday at Hollywood Babylon. For the 2 weeks running, there's a bit that we do, and it'll work. It'll translate, even though it's a bit that's kind of visual.
Right.
Where Ralph once did this creepy clown, like a killer clown who was putting on makeup in the mirror. Right. And he just did it with this while he's putting slowly circling grease paint on his face.
Right.
Very, very scary. It unnerved me. I was like, I can't look at it. It freaks me out. And he did it for a little bit. For the last 2 weeks, it has gone to like this weird, wonderful place. And I know he don't share it with anybody, but I'm like, you got to do it. Because all I see on Twitter all week long is people going, Ralph doing creepy Cosby clown. Ralph took his little creepy clown and put it through the prism of Bill Cosby. So without further ado, I know it's a visual bit, but you will enjoy it in your ears just as much. But for those here in the room, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Bill Cosby killer clown.
Here we go.
That's Bill Cosby is a creepy clown putting on his makeup in the mirror.
I like it.
It's the neck that kills me. He gets the Bill Cosby neck going from like 30 years ago, the Bill Cosby. Oh, it's amazing. We were just doing it, and suddenly
that's funny.
He downshifted into Cosby doing it. It was amazing. That's always a great show.
Stop it. Yeah, we have that live at the Lovitz on Saturday. While you're here, Kevin Smith, I know you always have a lot of plates in the air. What if I wanted to come to a movie theater and see you in person on February 2nd? How would that happen?
I would say
you're mad, sir. That sort of thing couldn't happen. Well, you know me. I can't let a podcast just be a podcast. We're turning them into TV shows now. Me and Ralph shot a pilot that we're shopping around. This sounds weird. I really want to go to Oxygen. I'll talk to you later about it.
I know. You mentioned that last time.
Oxygen, dude. The home of Snapped. Do you watch Snapped? Anybody else watch Snapped?
It's a woman's network.
This show, Snapped, is spellbinding.
What is it?
It's one of these, not a procedural, it's one of these true crime shows, but it's only about women who kill men and their husbands and other women.
Oh,
so
they
it's
snap.
Called They Snap. Oh. It is. It used to be a half hour. It's an hour long. It's all I watch every night. I just TiVo them and I watch them. Like, because I'm taking notes. I'm watching my wife so yeah. closely,
looking for clues.
Ever looking for clues.
Does she cough in the corner?
She's. I see her writing ideas down from yeah. time to time. That's the thing that unnerves me. But in any event. The podcasts, like with us taking Babylon, trying to turn it into a TV show, taking Tell 'Em Steve Dave, we turn it into a TV show that airs on AMC on February 12th called Comic Book Men. Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. I can't let it just be a podcast. We've taken it out on tour across the road. Now we're taking it into movie theaters.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, on February, what is it? Second.
Groundhog
it
Day.
Streams in theaters everywhere. It's an event called Kevin Smith Live from Behind. We do Jay and Silent Bob Get Old podcast, and then the second half of it is just doing Q&A. But it's interactive. So even if you're we're in a theater in Toronto, but it streams everywhere. So if you tweet us questions on Twitter, boom,
no,
I'm responding to you even though I'm not in the room.
That's a great idea.
It is. It's neat. I saw it, like, whenever I go to the movie theater, I'd see every once in a while an ad for, like, Dave Matthews in concert, uh-huh. you know, closed circuit streaming. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that'd be amazing to use a movie theater like a television studio, just broadcast.
That's what the Foo Fighters did when they were kicking off their album.
Yes,
promotion. Remember?
Yes.
You could go all over the country and see it.
It's such a cool idea, and I never thought I'd have something that, you know, I could... I'm not a Dave Matthews band or anything, but after years of doing the podcasting and live Q&A and stuff, suddenly they're like, hey, you want to try this?
Said, you're the yeah. Dave so this Matthews is an evening with Kevin Smith for the whole country at the same time, basically.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you can go to a theater and see it, man.
I don't, cool.
It's like $10 or something like that. But yeah, it's happening live and you're seeing, I don't know, it's kind of neat for us, like Jay and Silent Bob back on the big screen, kind of.
To change the topic for 1 second,
yes.
you're a guy who I think can probably explain SOPA to me better than I understand it, because it seems to me like it's just government wants to shut everyone down, and why?
Yeah, essentially.
I don't understand everything.
Both SOPA and PIPA would have given the government the ability at any given moment to shut down your website, take it away from you indefinitely, unless you could prove in a court of law that you did not break any copyright laws whatsoever. As we all know...
So YouTube, for example, would be the first to go.
Oh, everything goes. Like, think about it. If you've got a Twitter icon of Wicket the Ewok, they could take your whole account away because that's copyrighted material. You didn't get permission to
they
use that image.
They could close down Twitter.
In a heartbeat. They could close down any podcast site that has music in it that they don't own or something like that, or runs clear. It just made it a bit insidious. Like, essentially, corporations are trying to control their intellectual properties,
right.
IPs, if you will. Movies, music, everything is just going up on the internet for what the kids today call normal, but the old people like us call free. You know, they say, what happened? It's going away for free. But kids are used to that. Kids are just used to downloading whatever they want, whenever they want. So that's what we've been doing for the last, oh, I don't know, 10, 15 years now on the web. It's been getting even more so in the last 5 years.
Right.
So there are big companies, movie studios, naturally, of course, first and foremost, music industry people. Anybody that has something that you can download for free, you can rip and get without paying for, they're trying to protect it. You know, they're losing. I just heard the news report. I was driving in the K-Rock news report where, what's his name, Doc? He was saying they lost $500 million this year in piracy or whatever. So the corporations that have for so long enjoyed one type of way of doing business, you give us your money and we give you music, movies, television, whatever, or what have you, a book, what right. have you, are now having to deal with the fact that not as many people are A, willing, or B, ever gonna pay for their wares.
Right.
So naturally, they want things to go back to the old way. Like, no, we want to capitalize, get as much money as we can. For all these
correct
things
me if I'm wrong, not possible.
No, the genie's out the bottle, man. Okay. It is impossible to go backwards.
And giving
at this
the government that power, to me, seems horrible.
Look what happened. Like, they announced, Wikipedia was, I think it was the first one. They were like, look, we're going to black out for tomorrow to fight this.
This was yesterday?
It was two days ago.
Okay.
To protest, Wikipedia says we're going to go dark for the day. Google, they darkened their logo, and then if you clicked on it, it brought you to a poll that you could fill out or something like that. And within 24 hours, next day, the newspapers were just like, you know, everyone's backing off. SOPA, PIPA, done. You cannot take away to people's internet. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's theirs now. In a world, think about, we've been around before the internet. A lot of kids, not. So they come up in an age of it. They're like, oh, this is great.
Of course.
There was a time where we could not look at the amazing amounts of pornography we can now.
That's correct.
Those are dark days, Kevin.
Oh, could you imagine like buying a copy of We Magazine or Club or Hustler because they showed, you know, a little bit more than most and having to go into the store to buy it yourself? Not anymore.
Are we safe now?
I think we are for a little while because people made enough noise.
They're going to at least rework those bills because they were so draconian and sort of out of control that people were really upset. If they can make it a little bit more user-friendly and less threatening, they may have a chance to pass something
like
that.
Well, like I said a couple days ago when we discussed this, it was like they were trying to kill a fly with a flamethrower. I mean,
yes.
It was just so ridiculously over the top. But we don't have time to go into it more here. Everything you've said is true, Kevin Smith. I don't disagree with you. The other side of that argument is, yeah, but aren't people entitled to have a copyright and make money off of things that they create? I mean, that's the million-dollar question
As a guy who does both, again, you just have to play the ball where it lays. Like, of course, like everyone else, I'd like every single idea that came out of my head to make money. It's not going to happen anymore. For the last, like, few years, all I've been doing is putting up free stuff on the internet.
That's true.
The key to prosperity in this day and age on the internet is giving it away for free at first. So on smodcast.com, you can listen to hours and hours of stuff for free. But if we're in town, you got to pay to come see us at a club or something like that. And so the trade-off is kind of there. So I figured out, at least for me, how to play the ball where it lays. Everyone else has to figure out how to play the ball where it lays, as opposed to being like, no, let's structure it the way it used to be.
I'm going
to
kick the ball back out into the middle of the fairway like it used to be.
No.
Like I used to be able to do.
That ain't
cheater.
The way.
Cheat, yeah.
Kevin Smith is here. You should be following him on Twitter at ThatKevinSmith. By the way, how many followers are you up to now, Kev?
I am 25,000 away from 2 million.
Wow. How about that?
Wow.
John Lovitz, ComedyClub.com. If you want to see him with John Lovitz this Saturday night at 8, and then with our own Ralph Garman for Hollywood Babylon. Of course, that's sold out, but you can get tickets for future. Also in theater, you can see That Thing That We Talked About on February 2nd, and Comic Book Man debuts on AMC February 12th. You want to stick around for the Showbiz Beat coming up next?
Oh, how could I miss it?
Sweet Jesus, really?
Kevin Smith, our guest in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His friend Ralph Garman right beside him. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, Kenny G and his wife are splitting up.
No!
Yes, it's true. The saxophone master who was the soundtrack to so much sweet, sweet lovemaking over the past 20 years.
Yeah. I thought it was the flautist.
No.
It's a tenor sax.
The tenor sax. It's a straight sax.
Oh, okay. So it looks like a flute. It
looks like a clarinet.
It's horrible, though.
Clarinet.
It looks like a clarinet.
It's a bad sound.
That makes me rigid.
Does it?
How does that work as romance music?
Oh, it's so sexy.
I got a wife. She never once said, like, bust that out. Let's hear it to Kenny G.
Of course not.
You want to get to my G spot? Kenny G spot. Bring it, Kevy. Kevy G, Kenny G.
His wife, Lindy, is...
She's had it.
She said,
I hate that sax.
In the paperwork, she cited two irreconcilable differences: the sax and the hair. Apparently, here we go.
There it is.
Here's a little of the G man.
All right, now this isn't the instrument.
Isn't the name yet. Here it comes.
That is a bad sound, isn't it?
It's not a good sound.
Sweet. So she put up with that for 20 years, Ralph, but at this point she just had it out.
That is the music you hear when you're crapping in a public restroom.
Or whatever you're doing in a public restroom.
That too.
Could be the soundtrack to lovemaking there as well.
God, that works, man. Could you imagine if you were the other guy who did that kind of saxophone? You were his, like, Lex Luthor? He had it all by himself.
He did have the market corner, totally.
Yeah, it worked by
including
himself.
Including Christmas. And he's Jewish. Including Christmas. He did every year Christmas.
Oh, my God, you're right. It's about time this dude lost.
He's worth
he's such a winner. He's so mad.
He's worth $50 million.
What?
No word yet how they're going to split up the money, but he has hired big-time celebrity divorce attorney Laura Wasser, who we love here on the show.
Ralph,
we love her.
Is the reason that she gave for wanting to divorce bad sax?
Hey!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I will be doing Kenny G jokes here for the rest of the week.
Unlike many women, she wanted to be in a sexless marriage.
No! Oh!
Thank you so much.
Wait on the rim shots for my taste. I'm just saying.
Timing. CBS has announced they are putting together a Sherlock Holmes TV series. An American Sherlock Holmes modern TV series.
Wait.
Genius!
Not based on the movie?
Not based on the movie.
And not based on the very popular BBC show that everybody loves?
This is the unique CBS take on Sherlock Holmes.
It's America, man. They turn on the TV. They're like, what are they watching in England? Let's do that. All in the Family, Sanford and Son. I mean, they haven't done it in 30 years, but... Then we started doing it for a long time.
CBS said now that Sherlock is on their network, he will be 72 years old and Watson will be near death.
So
really,
to appeal to their demo.
Sure, of course.
Are they still the, they like the old timers network?
Yeah, they, the oldsters love
even
CBS.
With Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's old timers watch that show.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
One day there'll be three men, Robert.
CBS.
These are our stories.
NCIS,
we watch this lovely show.
And CSI and CC.
Here's one of their. Here's one of their viewers.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
That's. But he watches the CBS. Bean, your dad's a big CBS fan, right? Loves the
my
CBS.
Dad watches all of those shows that I've. I mean, you mentioned a bunch of, them, but then there's also like Without a Trace.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a
oh
million Cold Case. Yes. I mean, one right after another, and they're all like top 20 shows. And except for my father, I don't know anybody who watches any of them.
Blue Bloods. That's the one my
if
dad
I
likes.
Blue Bloods. Yes.
If I was going to run a network, I would essentially just sit down with my mother and be like, "What do you watch?"
Yeah,
because that's what always rates. Man, she watches all that stuff.
I watch Person anything. Of Interest. That's the one show that I watch on CBS.
I look at the top 10 and I say, I don't know any of these shows.
Yeah.
60 Minutes. That's the only thing I watch on CBS, literally.
I tape that and then I wait for Bean to tell me if it's good or not.
60 Minutes?
Yeah.
Because you don't have that much time.
And good news for folks who are looking to take advantage of women, David Copperfield is selling Rape Island.
Yay.
What?
Wait, is he referring to it as Rape Island?
Well, it's not in the brochure.
I see, okay.
I refer to it as Rape Island, but this is his private island in the Bahamas. He's not really selling it, but he will rent you a little rape space on the island. Features a lot of room to spread, 150 acres, 10,000 square foot main house, two guest villas, five bedroom beach villas, swimming pool, hot tub, even a movie theater.
Wow. Yeah. Off of Magic?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He bought it off
of Magic. He conjured up some bucks.
How much is he selling for, Ralph? Did you mention it?
No, he's not selling. He's renting it.
Renting it. Okay.
Yeah. You can get it all, including a full staff at your service. For $37,000 a day.
Oh,
what?
Oh my God.
A mere $37,000 a day. You can rent out Rape Island from David Copperfield.
Let's give it up for this guy, man. We all read his book. He had it hard, man. And no, now he's doing
well. I think
you're
thinking about the Charles Dickens David Copperfield.
This ain't him?
This is a different guy.
No.
Very different.
Who's this?
This guy did not grow up in Victorian England at all. He's a Las Vegas magician.
What? He doesn't deserve an
Wait, I'm stuck on $37,000 a week?
A day. That'd be a day, sir.
A day?
Yeah, to live on the island.
It's a private island. What do you want? What do you want? The price line to get you a better deal? $99.99 a day?
$37,000.
That's right.
There's no way I'm going to that island. I show up there, they're going to be like, Hurley. I start busting numbers on them and stuff.
Look, that is a ridiculous amount of money. But if you're, Kenny G, you can spend $37,000 a day, right?
This is how you save your $50 million. You take your wife to the $37,000 a day island. You apologize like crazy. Pick up a new instrument, maybe a accordion, like Weird Al, chicks like that.
Sure.
That's right. And then you rectify.
With the harpsichord. That's a good one.
Yeah, man.
Maybe your wife will take you to Rape Island for the next vacation. Instead of going to the spa, you can go there.
She took me to Rape Canyon Ranch. That's all we did was have sex. It was amazing. Mm. We work out. Well, she worked out. I didn't. And then even our sex. Sorry.
It was consensual in your particular case.
It was, yes.
David used to take women to this place and.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, they would engage in sexual acts against the woman's will.
Is that right?
Allegedly. Yeah,
allegedly.
Those are the claims.
When the women are claiming, he'd say, hey, we're going to spend some time on my island, and they would go there, and next thing you know, he's pulling a rabbit out of your hat. You know what I'm saying?
That ain't magic at all.
No, it isn't.
That's the opposite of magic.
Yeah, that's the opposite of magic.
That's what the villain does in a movie. The magician usually conjures up something to kill that guy.
That's right.
What a bummer.
Hey, Ralph, may I give two corrections briefly before you end the showbiz with the birthdays here?
Feel free.
Number one is, apparently, yes, Kenny G does play the tenor sax, but many listeners, and I don't know why they all know this, say that the long, narrow sax that we all picture is generally a soprano sax, apparently, is what Mr. G is playing in those cases.
What information
is,
man?
Finally, we got to the bottom of that.
He also does play the tenor and the alto. Apparently, he just plays them all, except the good kind of sax. That seems to be the only one he won't play. And the other correction is, apparently, I have new information now that Hollywood Babylon, which generally is an instant sellout, you are still able to buy some tickets for tomorrow night.
There's some tickets available.
10 o'clock, Hollywood Babylon with Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith in person at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Tickets are just $20. A great, great live show. And you also get to see Bill Cosby putting on clown makeup. You can go to johnlovitzcomedyclub.com to see the guys in person.
If you want to do that, I would do that a little sooner than later. Probably not a lot of tickets available.
No.
We're
just releasing our production holds.
No. Get them fast.
The tickets we have.
And come see Lovitz at 8. It's a good show. Saturday night Lovitz at the John Lovitz Comedy Club /podcast theater/ home of Ralph and Kev.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Buzz Aldrin, creepy astronaut, is 82 years old today.
I'm Buzz.
You're a sweet-looking baby.
Now, he's not the one that said one giant step, right? That's the other guy.
That was Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong. I was going to say
that was the real astronaut.
Who's this guy?
One, Buzz.
He was sitting in the back.
Right,
he was like, I was the cook. It counts.
You know, he's like Steven Seagal in Under Siege.
I'm just a cook.
David Lynch is 66 years old today.
Happy birthday to me. I am now 66 years old.
David Lynch, man, has 19 houses in the Hollywood Hills.
He
lives near me. He doesn't have 19.
He lives near everybody.
That's good. You can't get away from Lynch. He's got so much real estate, man. He's like Donald Trump in this town.
Paul Stanley of Kiss is 60.
Wow.
You wanted the oldest? You got the oldest. Ian Hill of Judas Priest, also 60. Bill Maher is 56. Lorenzo Lamas celebrates 54 years on this planet. Greg Kay of The Offspring's 47. Rainn Wilson of The Office is 46. Skeet Ulrich, good actor, from Jericho and As Good As It Gets, is 42 years old. Rob Borden of Linkin Park turns 33. And Questlove, drummer for The Roots.
Ah, I follow him on Twitter.
Celebrates his 41st birthday today.
Young.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Keep on listening for your chance to win every CD made by the band Blink 182. And you'll be qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to send you to see the band in concert in Berlin, Germany. That's just one of the many great things we have for you Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend, the Nerdist, Chris Hardwick, is going to be on with us. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And Andrew Siciliano will be recapping the NFL weekend. Speaking of the NFL, Cousin Sal in minutes with his picks for the weekend, too.
So there was a flight from Miami to London late Friday. It's a British Airways flight. Everybody got on the plane in Miami. Everybody was fine. They all sat down. They got in the plane. It was about 3 hours in, so they were over the ocean. And a person came on the speaker and said, quote, "This is an emergency. We will shortly be making an emergency landing on water."
Now, that's good news or bad news when you hear that?
That seems bad.
That's the scariest thing you could hear.
Said families with children were distraught. People were in tears. People were running up and down the aisles. Dogs and cats having sex together. It was mass hysteria. And then they came on and they went, we're sorry about that. That was a mistake.
We're fine. Plane's not going to land on water. We're on our way to London. Everything's great. Don't worry about it. Hit the wrong button. Sorry about that.
Pre-recorded announcement. Somebody hit the wrong button.
Oh,
Can you imagine the giant oops?
Now, I can imagine, too, the people, like the flight attendants at first are wondering what's going on. What panic. Don't they know?
Right, sure.
Yes.
And everybody's trying to figure out who hit that and what's happening.
Well, apparently, and I heard from somebody who works for an airline, not associated with this story, apparently all flights have that recording loaded up and ready to go. And the reason it's on tape is so that the pilot can come on and make the announcement while he's actually busy trying to not crash.
Right.
So it's one of the things that you do in advance of when you need it, just so that you don't have to think about it at the time. Plus, let's face it. That way you can record it while you're calm and you sound like there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no danger.
We're going down.
That would be the fear, is if you were doing it live while you were also trying to steer away from the mountain, that it might sound bad. I've always been fascinated with this. This is Bean speaking. Of course, I love death, but I've always been fascinated with what you do if you're in a situation where you're on a plane and maybe it doesn't even get to the announcement from the pilot. Maybe it's just turbulence that's so severe that you're convinced this is the time and the plane is going down. Every time I've heard a story about this where there's been a close call or some incident in the air where people thought they were going to crash and then they interview them at the airport on the other side, they always say the same thing. Complete pandemonium. Everybody screams.
I don't doubt it.
And I guess that makes sense, but that doesn't make things better. That doesn't make the situation less tense, does it?
The situation is on the plane?
No.
That's even worse.
Maybe you can't help it sometimes. I mean, certainly if the plane drops 50 feet, I'm screaming.
Of course.
Yeah. Are you?
Yes. I mean, just out of shock.
I don't know. I think about it.
It would just come out of my mouth.
I feel like I would be trying to stay calm is what I would be trying to do, not make it worse for me and everyone else by panicking.
Well, I don't think that's a pretty natural reaction at that moment.
You're thinking logically, Bean.
And that's not what's going through your head at the time
when it's
happening
to you. It
wouldn't
be for me.
Would you start screaming, though?
Well,
is that what you would do, Kevin?
I would. I would start screaming. But if my wife was with me, I would have sex. Let's be honest.
Right there in the seat on the way down.
And if she wasn't, I would stand up and yell, "Who wants to have sex?"
Right. You'd have to find somebody else because who could blame you? You're going to die.
But no, I wouldn't scream because that's not how I react to trauma or to, you know, these kind of critical situations.
Stressful situations.
I don't think I'd scream all the way down, but I mean
at the first
giant drop.
Yeah, it's frightening.
Yeah.
It's frightening as hell. And everybody's lived through that. So we would like to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you thought you were going down, doesn't matter what the reason was, maybe they didn't come on and say this is an emergency. We will shortly be making an emergency landing on water.
Yeah.
While you're over the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, that seems like that's the worst possible scenario. Mm. But your plane does start to lose altitude or some of them get hit by lightning.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes that stuff happens and they try to keep everybody calm, but maybe you were convinced that was it. This is it. This is the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I guess it depends on how much time you have. If you only have a few seconds, maybe that's all you have time to do is scream. But if it's one of those situations where the pilot is trying to do a delicate maneuver and it goes on for several minutes, I guess that's when you probably pull out your cell phone and risk it and call home and say goodbye and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
right?
That's why the flight goes down, because you turn on phones on a flight and they go right into the ocean. I've been told
Alicia,
that.
Alicia writes in here on the Kevin Bean Show. She knew that we would be doing this topic today, and this is a great great one to get us started, and then we'll go right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Dear Kevin and Bean, 11 years ago, so I was 13 at the time, my dad, my older brother, and me had taken off from LAX. We were headed for Atlanta. We were still ascending when the plane started to thrash from side to side, up and down like a chew toy. Everybody was screaming, crying, and vomiting. By the way, how's that for a plane that's 2 minutes from the ground? Everybody's already vomiting.
And when you leave LAX, you go over the ocean.
Yeah.
Before you turn.
Before you turn around. My brother, who was 16 at the time, was seated next to me, was out of his seat and up against the side of the plane screaming, "I don't want to die a virgin."
No.
One older man on the flight across the aisle from us stopped screaming when he heard that and started laughing. The plane finally leveled out. We found out later that we had got stuck in the wake of a much larger plane. And by the way, I don't know if Alicia is kidding me or not, but she says she hasn't flown since. That was 11 years ago when she was 13. She hasn't flown since because of that?
Can you imagine that guy, though? Because when they level it out, he's like, hey, that whole thing about a virgin, I was joking
just
about that.
Just trying to make you feel better.
Yeah, I was just trying to make people laugh.
That is the most hilarious thing. Wasn't that the scene in the movie Almost Famous where the band, they thought the plane was going to crash, and the drummer in the band screamed out that he was gay? He just felt like he had to get it off to his chest. And then like 15 seconds later, the plane just leveled out. Everybody's just kind of saying, well, you didn't really have to tell us that, but okay. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Oh, now we're out of time. We have to take a break and come back. And then we'll talk to you, Tesha. We'll talk to Roger, everybody else. We want to hear what happened on your plane when you thought it was going to crash. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean. You thought your plane was going down. We bring this up, and of course it didn't because you're alive to call us. We bring this up because of a mistake on a plane going across the ocean the other day where they accidentally hit the recording telling the passengers that the plane was going to land on water, and everybody freaked out until it was revealed that it was an accident. There was nothing wrong with the plane,
and
they were
fine.
Imagine?
Hey, remember that thing about the whole water? Not happening. Everyone sit back down. Everything's cool.
Let's talk to Tisha. Get us started here on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Tisha. Thanks a lot for holding on, my dear. What happened to you?
Hi, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hi. Basically, we were coming in for a landing. We're very close, and the plane dropped, then kind of side-sized, nose-sized.
Wow.
Nobody came on the speaker. Stewardesses who were collecting the, you know, cans and whatnot jumped into seats, and I screamed bloody murder.
Yes, you started screaming. Excellent.
I don't blame you. I started screaming.
Wow. I love it. How long did you scream?
It was pretty loud, and my mom, who was sitting next to me, it was, you know, it seemed like forever, but it was probably really quick, and then I kind of, like, bit into her shoulder, to be honest with you.
You bit your mom's shoulder?
Yeah.
I do not want to fly with you, ever.
Did everybody else start screaming once you started screaming?
People, I think, were very shocked. They were, you know, it's kind of hit us when the stewardesses started jumping in the seat.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
But Bean's right. When one person screams, that's when all hell is unleashed. I mean, it's just everybody goes, uh-oh, it's time to scream.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for the call, Tisha. Let's go to Brady real quick, line six. Brady apparently was the only one who panicked on his plane when it got into a tough situation. Hi, Brady. What was the story here, dude?
Yeah, thanks a lot for the setup.
What a pussy you are.
Ohio, we fly a lot of business, and this is my first trip to the Midwest in February. And it was, you know, there was snow on the ground where we were landing. And we came in, and the plane landed. And then as we were starting to slow down, it started to twist to the side, like slip. and I thought we were going to crash. And so, but I was the only, and I'm in a suit, and I'm the only one in the aisle. And everyone else, I guess that's normal, and I'm just kind of looking around like, am I the only one here?
You know, I would be, I gotta be honest, if I wasn't expecting it, I would be a little surprised if the plane started skidding upon landing. I would think that that was not normal either.
Skidding and turning sideways.
Yeah, that seems really bad.
That seems bad. Maybe everybody else was just so stunned that they couldn't really do anything.
Yeah. Good times. Thank you very much, Brady. Let's try Sarah, line 7. Sarah, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Where were you flying to?
I was flying from LAX to Australia.
Okay.
And, wow. Okay.
A lot of ocean.
And it was so nice. I was 2 glasses of wine and a Vicodin, so I wasn't all there already.
Okay.
And the plane just starts going so fast, and overhead bin pops open. I mean, it's just the worst turbulence. I'm screaming. Everybody's screaming.
Now, wait, going so fast, meaning going down?
Going down and, like, dropping, like, 20 feet. And
sweet.
It would be turbulence, and then it would drop. So the guy that I'm sitting next to, who I had been flirting with the whole time, I noticed his pants around the crotch getting darker and darker.
Wait, so you found him attractive enough to flirt with?
I was flirting with him the whole time. I'm single, and he was in a suit, and it was just darker and darker. And he wet his pants.
I love that.
It was great.
Did you bring it up? Hey, how about wetting your pants, huh?
I stopped talking to him the whole time.
And scene.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call.
Every Friday this football season, we've been lucky enough to catch up with our old friend Cousin Sal here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can follow him at grantland.com and see him, of course, on his cousin Jimmy's late night TV show. And Sal, I was very impressed as I look over your 3-1 predictions for last weekend for the divisional games. You actually picked the 49ers over the Saints. Way to go, dude.
Isn't it? I'm finally getting good at this. Now there's like 2 games left. what a crime.
However, you did pick Green Bay. And,
as we all did.
And I'd like to play a clip of last week's conversation with you, if you don't mind. All right, this is Cousin Sal.
I'm taking Green Bay. And guys, if I'm wrong, I'm going to come down to your studio and repeatedly slam my head into a microphone.
I can't wait. All right, that was from last week. Where are you?
That was a joke.
Where are you?
You hit your head. And
I did hit my head.
It was a callback. That's what all right. It didn't even sound like me. I don't know.
What went wrong? Before we look ahead toward this weekend, Sal, I was so unimpressed with Aaron Rodgers. Look, the Packers, I thought, were the team to beat all year long. Forget the fact that they were 15-1. I mean, some of these games that Aaron Rodgers was putting up were incredible, but he just looked like he never got out of first gear last weekend. What happened?
He was really out of sync. I think only he had about 2 or 3 bad throws the whole game. He had 6 or 8 drops, depending on who you talk to, the receivers and running backs. They were way out of sync. They hadn't played, you know, they didn't play their last regular season game. The starter sat. It's a long time. That might clinch it. Like, we may start seeing guys playing all throughout the regular season because 21 days proved to be too long. And, like, their offensive coordinator, Sun, died. And the players, I guess, hated this kid because they did not rally at all. It was the opposite of rally. I don't know. But the Giants are tough. They really are.
Yeah.
You're right. They were a good team. The Packers needed to play well to beat them. And by the way, I have to give you all the other credit in the world for your prediction last week about the Patriots-Denver game. And you said, yeah, it's going to be one of the most watched football games ever outside of a Super Bowl, but it's going to be over in the first quarter. And you could not have been more right about that one, too.
Thank you. And it's a dumb thing. It was over even before the kickoff. Like, Denver won the coin toss, and they decided they deferred, which means they could choose in the second half if they wanted the ball or not. So the Patriots are like, all right, we'll take the ball. We'll score 7. Our crowd's in the game, and you guys are done now.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yep. You're right.
You can't pass, and you're down 7-0. So.
And they scored in, like, 4 plays or something. It was ridiculous.
The first game wasn't even over, I don't think.
Let's talk about the Patriots. They couldn't have looked any better, although I'm sure Bill Belichick found some things to yell at them about after they only scored 45 last weekend. But the Ravens are a little bit of a mystery. They're a team that I've never really been able to get a handle on this season. They've always been great, but I've never been able to really figure out why. How do they stack up against New England?
Yeah, Belichick is like a Taiwanese Little League baseball coach. If the pitcher doesn't strike out the side, he's pulling them. But yeah, I think, I'll tell you what, the spread is 7. Ravens are getting 7 against the Patriots, and I think it's way too high. But I understand why it's high. It's completely based on last week's AFC matchups. Now, we saw the Patriots destroy the Broncos. I called it. I think we all knew when Denver was going to fall, they were going to fall hard.
Right.
And they ended up being a 9-9 team. So
So everyone's on board with the Patriots. And the Texans gave the Ravens a fit, but their strengths are like a strong running game and a strong pass rush. Those are not factors in Foxborough for the Patriots. The line should be closer to 3 or 4. The Patriots are 0-2 against winning teams, and the Ravens are 6-1. Like, people are forgetting this Ravens team, and I think they're going to sneak up on the Patriots. They have a good running game. I think they'll keep Brady in check. I'm picking the upset here. 24-21, Baltimore Ravens going to the Super Bowl.
Wow. How about that? Boy, is that going to just destroy them in New England after the rough few years that they've had because they're so used to winning up there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not going to destroy them. It's just me making a call.
No.
He's saying if it happens.
If it happens, though, if it happens, that's going to be tough for them. Because let's face it, they are pretty much used to winning with what's been going on up there with basketball, with hockey, with, you know, with everything right now.
Yeah. I feel bad for them. How are they going to handle this?
So
18 months without a championship. Yeah.
How about that? All right, now let's move on.
Let me just say this. If you don't believe my reasoning, forget everything I just said. Adam Carolla, a notorious mush, is betting the Patriots. And nothing that I just said matters. He is the worst gambler in the history of gambling.
I see. So you want to go against him.
That's exactly right. He told me, like, I got to do it. They're going to score 40. And they came out of retirement. So that's it. That's all you need to know. Ravens.
All right.
All right. Let's move ahead towards Sunday now. You got your New York Giants, who were very impressive against the Packers, against the 49ers, who played in one of the most thrilling games ever last weekend, finally getting past the Saints in the final seconds. What do you like here?
Just to interrupt, these are both on Sunday. Both of these games
both
are
on Sunday. Yes. Yeah, one noon and one at 3:30 our time, West Coast time. So, like, you know what? I give up. I'm going to get in trouble for whoever I pick. Because, like you said, I've been picking against these teams all year, except for the one I had the Niners last week. But I'm waving the white flag. I can't pick against the Giants any longer. I'm dropping my pro-Cowboy, anti-Eli Manning bias.
Yeah, you hate the Giants because you're a Cowboy fan and you have to.
It just makes sense. And then the next thing you know, he's like back on one foot. He's got his eyes closed. He heaves the ball into the end zone, off the face mask, into the hands. Like, all right, maybe this is a team of destiny. And their defense is so solid, guys. I mean, they rush four guys that get to the quarterback every time they make the, whether it's Rodgers or whoever,
wow,
they make them uncomfortable. And it's nice when you don't have to blitz a guy. You have an extra guy in coverage. It's like playing footsie with three extra toes. If you ever tried it.
I've never tried that, but I will.
You should. Yeah, add some toes. And it's supposed to be wet conditions in San Francisco. I think it's going to slow down the Niners' running game. I'm going with the better quarterback in this one. The first one I didn't. This one I'm going to. Giants have no flaws right now. 23-17, they win the game. It's a 2001 rematch of the Super Bowl, Ravens and Giants.
Very impressive. Now, Eli is healthy again now. We heard that he was missed some practice and he was vomiting and the whole deal. As far as you know, he's past that bug and he'll be ready to play.
I think so. It doesn't really matter. He just flings it with one foot.
Yeah. He's not looking anyway, right?
Yeah, he's got heaves during the week, dry heaves, and then he heaves it up in the end zone. Someone comes up with it. Doesn't make any sense.
Very exciting. So I guess we won't need you for the Pro Bowl, Sal, so we won't be talking to you again.
Whoa, that's what I save all my money for, is to bet on the Pro Bowl.
I guess we'll be talking to you again on Super Bowl weekend then, and let's see how it plays out.
I'll talk to you in a couple weeks, and I'll have some wacky proposition bets for you.
Love that, too.
Oh, can't wait. Thank you so much, Sal. Be sure to read his great coverage at Grantland.com and look for him on his cousin Jimmy Kimmel's Late Night Show just after midnight on ABC. Have a great weekend, dude. Talk to you soon. Our friend LaQuisha watches so you don't have to. What went down on last night's all-new Jersey Shore episode on MTV? We'll find out in minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in on a Friday. Ralph's got the showbiz beat now. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of TV, how was American Idol last night, Bean?
My power did not come on until after American Idol last night. I was without power for 12 hours yesterday, so I didn't get to watch it.
You lucky bastard.
They were in Pittsburgh, right? It was a Pittsburgh episode last night?
I guess. I don't know.
You didn't watch it either.
I watched the first one. I was like, whew. I may check back in later when they start doing the real show.
It's all going well for me.
I can't abide those lengthy, just sappy, manufactured emotional stories they're doing now. It's just ridiculous.
Well, Kevin hates it when you and I talk Idol all season long, so he's going to be delighted if neither of us end up watching it.
Yes.
Like I said, I may check in once they start competing. Well, it might be interesting to see what kind of talent they're offering up this year.
But you know what? It might not.
But I'll check in. I'll see. And if it's not, then I won't. But if it is, then I will.
But I'm saying it might not be.
But I'm saying.
All right.
You know? While we're talking about American Idol, Jennifer Lopez, still as lovely as ever.
Oh, is she adorable or what?
She's pretty special.
So sweet and so pretty.
I hope that's really her on that show when she's the
Me too.
The judge, because she's pretty...
charming and sort of lovable and nice and adorable and pretty.
Wednesday
and
night, Kevin, she was complaining that she's always the first one there, ready to go on camera, on time, in full hair and makeup, and she has to wait around for Steven Tyler and Randy Jackson to get theirs done, which is just hilarious. So
well, they got to spackle all that stuff on Steven Tyler just to make him look
alive.
Human. Yeah. She, of course, is now dating her backup dancer, Casper Smart. And much has been made of the fact that there's an 18-year difference between Jennifer and Casper. She's 18 years older than Casper is.
Well, good for her.
He is getting a little defensive tweeting this week. Age, status, and opinions of others are irrelevant. Our hearts are endless, and our souls are infinite.
Oh, jeez.
Wow, now I hate him.
He encourages everyone, close your eyes and open your hearts. He tweeted.
What a douchebag.
He also is getting a $10,000 a week walking around money from Jennifer.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He gets an allowance.
He gets an allowance, yeah.
Because that's how young he is. He gets an allowance.
Reportedly, he was getting embarrassed because she'd have to pull out her credit card and pay for everything every time they went out.
$10,000 a week.
So now she hands him an envelope under the table and he gets to buy dinner.
Nice.
See how that's done?
$10,000.
That's her sobbing the ego of her young boy toy there. So that's some good stuff.
Have we ever done the phone topic of boy toys of guys who are taken care of by older, wealthy women and what that must be like?
I think we did a long time ago, but it would certainly be worth doing again.
I'd like to do it again.
Because
the risk you run is guys calling up saying, yeah, man, I'm so hot. Ladies love.
And I think we did that.
They pay me, man, because they get every penny's worth because I'm a stud. I'm like, oh, really? Do I have to talk to this guy? I'd rather talk to the women who pay than talk to the guys who are full of braggadocio.
Yeah, maybe so. I used to think that was going to be my end game, was that I was going to find a wealthy older woman to take care of me. Yeah. But now I have gotten so old that all of the wealthy older women are dead. So there's no one old enough
still
now.
Betty White. Betty White's rich.
Yeah, maybe Betty could look after me.
Although
sure.
I do have to say that's a solid end game.
That's a good plan.
That was your retirement plan?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
yes,
a
it
good
was,
plan.
To be a boy toy.
Knowing your interpersonal skills, that's fantastic.
F that 401k, I'm going to be a gigolo.
That's right.
And I know it's gigolo before you write in. I was just being funny.
Yeah.
Money in the news once again with Blue Ivy. Blue Ivy Carter, B.I.C., as we call her in the hood.
Sure.
Because, you know, she's featured on Glory. She throws down some mad rhymes on Glory.
She does. Yo. They recorded her crying in the hospital is what happened.
Oh, that's right. She's not so much a guest artist as she is a sound effect.
Yeah, well,
but true. They still give her credit to being the youngest person ever to have a single in the top 100 on Billboard's top 100 charts.
Oh, that's BS.
No, it's true.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's BS.
But she's on the title. It's Glory featuring B.I.C. She is the guest artist on that track.
I know.
You don't know, apparently.
I understand. I'm saying it's BS.
She is already a powerhouse in the entertainment industry. I've heard she's got her own record label.
Does she already?
That's what I've heard, yes.
She's signing acts?
Called Poopy Pants Records. In Touch Magazine, in talks with people close to the couple, Beyonce and Jay-Z, of course, they've announced that Blue Ice, it's not Blue Ice.
Blue Ice.
That sounds delicious. Though. Blue Ivy Carter will wear nothing but designer baby clothes from Gucci and Louis Vuitton.
Sure.
Apparently they are special ordered. And that's what they're going to be dressing their baby in.
Sure. So the kid has an endorsement deal, basically, at 2 weeks old at this point.
Well, it's a good idea to invest in high-quality baby clothes because they'd last forever. The baby wears the same clothes literally for weeks.
It's not like
before
grow
you have
out
to get
them.
New ones. No. They have several cribs for the baby to sleep in. One, according to this story. Now, I heard it was a $35,000 crib that she was sleeping
in. Yeah, which I don't even understand how you do that unless you put
this
diamonds on it.
This story says a $100,000 crib. She has several. This is the Sunday crib or something. Maybe this is the.
When she doesn't like that one. She can move over to the.
Maybe like crib, they mean entire house. Like they say come to my crib.
Right.
Maybe they bought her a house for $100,000. Maybe that's the confusion.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. This kid is. I hope they put aside some money for therapy. That's all I'm saying. Good to spend money on the kid every which way, but just sock a little away so that when she's lying on the couch saying. By 13, I had everything, I had nothing to live for, so I turned to cutting and drugs.
Start that therapy like next week.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Buzz Aldrin. Spaceman, Buzz Aldrin.
I'm Buzz.
Now, he is, you say Spaceman, but remember, he is the model for the MTV Moon Man trophy that they give out at their awards every year. That's modeled on Buzz.
Oh!
you.
That's an interesting tidbit about the guy we're talking about. Come on.
And I'm Buzz.
Ralph, I've been writing stuff down all day today.
From busy man.
My hand is tired from writing down Thanks to that info beat stuff.
Buzz. You want to see my flagpole? Yeah, I stuck it.
Hi, this is Buzz, and I spell astronaut with two S's. Yeah. Get it?
At what point do you lose the boyish nickname Buzz, too, by the way, if you're a man of 82 years?
I think that's a choice you make. You're just used to it, comfortable with it at this point.
We did roll the dice and have the guy in thinking, how boring can it be?
He's been in space.
He's been on the moon.
He's got to have something interesting to say.
Wow, he was bad.
Boy, were we wrong.
Man, was that boring.
I love Buzz Aldrin. I love him.
There was a door on the spaceship, and we opened it. And then we'd get inside and we'd close it.
Oh, thanks, Buzz. Thanks for that scintillating interview.
Buzz Aldrin is so gangster.
It's terrible.
David Lynch is 66 years old today. Paul Stanley of Kiss turns 60, as does Ian Hill of Judas Priest. Bill Maher is 56 years old today. Rainn Wilson from The Office is 46. Rob Borden, our buddy from Linkin Park, turns 33. Questlove, drummer for The Roots, from Philadelphia, by the way, 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
As you know, we're trying to send you to Blink 182 in Berlin, Germany. Grand prize drawing on the Kevin and Bean Show Monday. You can qualify throughout the day today, like our man Frank Valdez just did from Colton. Way to go, Frank. You've won the complete Blink 182 CD catalog. Jersey Shore, Thursday nights, MTV. Kevin, you're not watching, right?
No, I love...
I'm not watching. Lisa, you're not watching.
I watch like every other one, but I love to be surprised by LaQuisha because every single time she does the recap, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think Kevin loves to hear you miserable, LaQuisha.
Up, Kevin.
I love it.
I'm not watching. Like everyone said, oh, no, I don't have the plague. No, I don't have the plague. But that person over there, she has the plague. Let's watch her die. That'd be fun.
But it's a testament to what a fantastic job you do that we don't feel like we need to tune in and spend that hour because you do such a great job recapping for us.
Well, let's try something different next week. Why don't you all watch it and I'll take the week off and then you see how it is.
No, sometimes I watch it after your review even just because it sounds so awesome.
Yeah. Well, last night was the first Vinny-less show we've had.
He left.
You know, Vinny left the show last week. He could not. He gave all he could give. He had nothing but fumes in the tank. He couldn't produce any more high-quality entertainment on the Jersey Shore.
Right.
He had to go home and recharge his batteries.
Because he was asked to do a lot of singing and dancing on the show? Is that what you're referring to?
When you're on a variety show like Jersey Shore, the schedule is awful. You're acting in sketches, you're dancing, you're singing, production. Wait a minute. They drink and someone films them.
That's it, yeah.
But everyone in the house is very upset, especially Dina. Dina is just crying her eyes out.
You know where he acts about everything. Dina's very dramatic with the waterworks, so hearing that Vinny stubbed his toe, she might have cried.
No, he was like my soul.
Yes.
He was like
her soul.
My really? Soul.
That's ridiculous, Dina. We watched the show. We know you ain't got no soul. You're dead inside.
By the way, it's soulmate, isn't it? I mean, you have your own soul.
No, it's she. He was her soul. And now that he's gone, she's got no soul whatsoever.
That's weird.
Now, the rest of the house is also feeling very sad that their friend is gone, but they decide the only way to pay tribute to him is to try to carry on.
Of course.
That's the way he would have wanted it.
Uh-huh.
So they're out there in the nightclub drinking and dancing, and of course, with Mike, it means having sex with random women.
I'm like a shopper at a store. I see something I like. Okay, right there. Come here. You now come with me.
He could pick any woman in the room and say, come with me, and they'd do it.
Does anybody believe that?
Yes. Nope. He is a shopper. He is like a shopper.
Please.
In a 99-cent store.
He slept with Snooki.
Some of the cans are dented, and some of the merchandise may be a little dusty and torn up. But still, he's a shopper. Just fills up his shopping cart.
Sure.
Now, Snooki decides the only way they can pay tribute to Vinny is to have a Dina and Snooki meatball day, where they go out during the day and get as drunk as humanly possible. Well, sounds like mission accomplished.
I haven't really had a meatball day in Seaside yet, so I feel like today should be a perfect meatball day. Let's just get wasty pants.
Yes, get waisty pants.
Oh, no. Really?
This might be one I have to watch.
You're going to get waisty pants.
Waisty pants.
I think that sometimes when Snooki drink enough, she does get waisty pants.
Yeah.
Because her pants get filled with waste.
Yeah.
Oh, Lucretia, please. Terrible visual.
And it's time to waste those pants after they've been used by her with her waisty pants.
Yeah. Oh, no. Please stop.
The only time anyone's ever used the word waste involving Snooki, by the way, because she ain't got none. Yeah. She is like a fire plug, straight up and down.
That's true.
She takes Snooki out, Dina does, and they start drinking. And amazingly, Dina is more sober of the two by the end of the afternoon.
Nicole is a little bit more drunk than I am. I'm a little bit more like, merp, where Nicole is like, merp.
Yeah.
Well,
she's all like merp, and then the other one's like merp, and then, you know, you don't want to get too merp, because then the police say, oh, you're over merp, so, and then you have to get merp tested.
Was the difference in the tone? What was the difference? Because to me, it sounded like merp and merp. I don't understand,
Kevin,
LaQuisha. Can you explain?
How do you survive in the world not knowing these basic things?
Can you explain the MERP system?
Listen, when you get MERP, then that's okay. But you can't get MERP, because then that's too MERP.
Okay. All right.
It's degrees of MERP.
I'll study.
Paulie also does his own unique tribute to Vinny when he's out of the club. He sees a young lady that he thinks Vinny would have liked very much.
According to my eyes, she's like tattoo chick, and she like has Vinny's name all over, like a little bit older and tatted from the head down. I can just tell this girl, DTF. You can smell it, see it, taste it. She's DTF. I'm going to smash this tattoo chick in my man Vinny's bed in honor of my man Vinny for leaving the house.
Oh, what a touching tribute.
These people really do care and really are trying to give.
It's like the memoriam section of the Oscars when they say goodbye to their fallen comrades. They should have had Celine Dion singing a song while Paulie was banging a girl with tattoos all over her in honor of his fallen friend Vinny.
Was the tattooed girl merped?
She was way merp.
Okay.
They were both pretty merp, in my opinion.
Okay.
But I'm just so moved by the fact that he would have sex with a skanky girl that he could smell from a distance in honor of his friend.
Yeah, that is
very
nice.
Touching.
That is.
I hope when I go, someone will do that in my name as well.
Nope.
All right. Now, not all fun and games on the Jersey Shore. Keep that in mind.
It isn't?
No, because they got to work for a living, too. You know, they're very poor. And they have to go to a T-shirt shop on the boardwalk in order to make ends meet because they're very, very poor, and they must keep this job of the T-shirt shop.
Right.
And situation, after last night being all drunk and whatnot, he is not looking forward to this, so much so that he starts to talk like Kevin.
It was crazy last night. I'm definitely a little tired, and the last thing I want to do is work at the T-shirt shop right now.
Work at the what?
The T-shirt shirt. He doesn't want to work in the T-shirt shirt, son.
That's how I talk full time now.
That's right. You're the situation of the Kevin and B show.
That's sort of sad.
That's T-shirt shirt. Now, it's Paulie's birthday this week, and it's also the situation's birthday this week, so they decide they're going to celebrate together.
Okay.
Only thing is, Paulie has people who like him.
Yes.
Situation doesn't have that so much.
Right.
But all of Paulie's friends and family come down to the Shore House to surprise him and wish him a happy birthday. But the best part is, as far as Paulie's concerned, they bring a very special guest.
I love my mom and family, but my barber really made my birthday happen. I'm back to being FTD, fresh to death. I'm the freshest person in Seaside again.
As a gift, they brought his barber from home to come down and give him a haircut. That was his favorite gift of his birthday.
It's ridiculous.
With that goofy kid and play hairdo thing he's got going on. That was the best thing on his birthday.
Wow.
And the other people in the house, they're going to make a party, too, for Mike and for Paulie to celebrate their birthday. And unfortunately, they put Dina in charge of the planning of the party.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I know I'm not the smartest crayon in the box. This is a rocket scientist. Like, we can make a party.
She talks like me, too.
At what point did she realize she wasn't the smartest crayon in the box? Was it when she said she was the smartest crayon in the box as opposed to sharpest crayon? Or when she says this isn't rocket scientist.
She's right. Technically, she's right on both counts.
She is not the smartest crayon in the box, that is for sure.
Why is Kevin not on this show?
I don't know. He should be like Uncle Kevin to come down and spend the weekend sad. In the show and say, all right, who's the smartest crayon in the box?
This is sad.
Because I'm the rocket scientist.
There's a part of me in every one of them. This is sad.
Now, everybody's making a big deal about Paulie's birthday. What about the situation's birthday? What about his feelings? Well, no one pays him no mind, and he gets his feelings hurt because everybody's all about Paulie, and nobody's throwing parties or bringing family down for the situation. He is an emotional person, and he starts getting his feelings hurt.
I guess wishing you had something you don't. Paulie's got his friends and family. I feel like I have nobody. I'm like a house with no legs right now.
Yeah.
No, it's 30.
He's a house with no legs.
That's true. Huh. That is true.
Isn't that all houses?
I'm not sure.
Isn't that every house?
I don't know anyone who's got a house with legs.
Is he talking
unless
about...
maybe you live in like Indonesia or something where the floodwaters come in and you got to build yourself up some pylons.
Are they is he talking about houses by the ocean or something?
I think he's just talking about houses with legs. I think he's confusing a house with a chair.
Well, there's that.
Which can happen sometimes.
Listen, this is not rocket scientist.
It isn't. And he is not the smartest crayon in the box either, I'll tell you that much. Well, at the end of the episode, Situation walks out the house, too. He may not be coming back. They're dropping like flies.
Really?
It may just be Snooki at some point, just rattling about a big house all by herself, eating pickles. I got to find out next week. I'll let you know what happens.
Can't wait.
Bye now.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 944.
Merp.
Time for a Ralph Garman of the Showbiz Beat. What you talking about, Ralph?
I don't know. I'm a merp.
And she's all like,
are you merp? You're all
you
merp.
You feel merped?
I'm so merp.
Merp. Jersey Shore is the best.
Not the sharp. It's not the smartest crayon in the box.
It's not rocket scientist. I know that.
Let's take a look at the final Showbiz Beat of the week.
It's really the only show on television that I can watch and feel smart. That's it. And maybe just
or
average.
Do you just feel at
average.
Home? You just feel
at home.
You feel like, It's like when you release an animal back into the wild and you see it romping through the field and it comes across a herd of its own kind for the first time. And you see that moment of recognition. You're like, oh, I'm amongst my own people again.
This is where I belong. Yeah,
it's good. He actually speaks well English.
Yes, you do speak well English. This is a great story. It's, believe it or not, my sources are our very own website, krock.com.
Oh, I wouldn't.
KevinAbean.com.
I would double check that for sure.
Very, very funny story, in my opinion, about a young woman. Attending the Louvre, that's in France.
Is that the art?
That is the art museum.
Art museum. Campus.
The one you ran through.
The one you saw in 44 minutes. It takes most people a week.
They told us you have to save like for 2 to 3 days you need to go through the Louvre.
Yes. Because it's filled with so many rich artistic treasures.
It was about 45 minutes, including lunch.
I can just see Kevin eating like a corn dog in front of the Mona Lisa, mustard dripping off his face. I don't get it. I don't see what's so good about this. I'm Murph.
Paintings are stupid.
Part of us. Where's the part of us? So this woman's at the Louvre. She's having someone take her photo with the paintings in the background. And she gets photobombed. Someone's like looking at the camera, leaning in, getting photobombed. Guess who photobombs her?
That's always funny.
Tom York of Radiohead.
Yeah!
What? Party man Tom York?
Party man. Practical joker Tom York.
Who would you expect to do that less than him?
Photobombs this young woman while she is getting her photo taken on the floor of the Louvre.
Go to krock.com right now and you can see. There she is with a smile on her face, not knowing that Tom York is posing.
It's awesome.
In the
he's in the background. He's like giving her like a Napoleon or something. He's got his hand inside his jacket. He's just totally a photobomber.
That's great.
So go check it out. It's very funny. Apparently, folks who are on our site, too, are collecting photos now of photo bombs because they thought it was so entertaining.
Oh,
King of Mexico did it to our own Cat Corbett, or DJ Cat Corbett, at the Acoustic Christmas.
That is going to be endless.
I love the photo bombs.
Send those in. We like those.
Very entertaining.
I saw Tina Fey photobombing some people
getting
their photo taken at the Golden Globes the other night, too, which was funny.
When they put the live camera on, she was behind her. It was great.
Yeah. I thought it was also funny when Amy Poehler, I guess, was up for an award or something. Didn't Tina Fey have a little card to say whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, she was holding a little card behind her saying whatever.
Very
She's
funny.
The best.
It's always funny.
Well, now we know the truth. Been a lot of speculation. Khloe Kardashian, is she truly a Kardashian or not?
Does she have the same father as
the
other
two? That's right. There's speculation that Kris Jenner, who admitted to having an affair on her husband, Robert Kardashian, while they were married, is the father of Khloe different than the father of Kourtney and Kim?
Well, you would look at the photos and think, absolutely.
The visual evidence.
Yes.
The eye test.
Yes.
Would suggest that was the case. But now we know, thanks to the fine people at the journalistically brilliant National Enquirer.
Oh, the Enquirer did
They
some
have
kind of-
done some digging and they have come up with the truth. We now know who Khloe Kardashian's real father is. On the cover this week, O.J. Simpson is Khloe Kardashian's real father.
I knew it.
Yes. Now think about it.
Makes
Robert
sense.
Kardashian, O.J., very close.
Robert Kardashian was the lead lawyer
of
in
the Dream Team.
Right?
Yeah,
that's sure.
But even before that happened, even before he started killing people, they were friends and would hang out.
Right.
She was good friends with...
Nicole?
Choppy, yeah. Nicole?
I don't know that I'd go with Choppy if you don't mind.
Oh, my God.
And the four of them would hang out together, vacation together and stuff. So maybe OJ and Kris took a shine to each other. And next thing you know, bow, chicka, bow, bow. It only takes once, people.
Big dude, big girl.
She could
big
be a football
dude,
player.
Big football
sure.
player, Bill.
Sure.
Next thing you know, you got yourself a Khloe.
That's true.
Can I be
or
the one
a Khloe J?
Can I be the one to at least raise the question that maybe Khloe doesn't look even a little bit black, though? Isn't race a factor in who's the
Sometimes.
Daddy?
Sometimes.
First of all, OJ, light-skinned dude.
Right.
Kris, white. All right? Secondly...
Okay.
Mr. Smarty Pants, Mr.
I was just, asking the question.
Okay, Lieutenant Columbo. Okay, now that you have all the answers, do yourself a favor. Go to the National Enquirer website and look at the photos of Sydney, his daughter, with Nicole Simpson.
Okay. Yeah, she's very white. She's very white. I've seen her. Yeah.
And looks almost identical to Khloe Kardashian.
Is that
interesting?
Right?
They
interesting.
Could be sisters much more so than Khloe and Kourtney or Khloe and Kim. I'm just saying this is true. That's all I'm saying.
And allegedly.
No, I'm saying it's 100% true.
I know you're saying
I'm saying
that.
It's scientifically
I'm
proven fact
to
that
cover
O.J.
Our asses,
Simpson is
I'm
the father of Khloe Kardashian.
That's allegedly true.
I see.
Allegedly.
I'm saying we don't need Maury Povich. We don't need no DNA test. We got the facts here on the National Enquirer paper.
Allegedly.
I'm just saying.
Allegedly.
Just saying it's real.
Allegedly.
And true.
Allegedly.
So she's going to have to wait until 2017 until her dad gets paroled for a reunion opportunity. So. I feel bad. Now that she knows who her dad is, it's going to take a while for her to hang out with him because he's still
Imagine
in jail.
If you found out O.J. Simpson was your dad.
That'd be bad news on almost every level.
O.J. would be calling her for money, I'll tell you that, if he thought he had it in now.
Yeah. But the story itself is fascinating. A source tells the National Enquirer.
A source?
Yeah. O.J. told me Khloe is his child. And apparently he told friends for years that he had a love child with someone in a very wealthy family. So put two and two together, you know what you get? Murder. I'm sorry, I don't even know what that
means. I don't think
that means. Wouldn't that be great if that was true?
That would be awesome.
But in reality, in case there's any lawyers listening, I don't think it's true.
Allegedly, yeah. It's not true at all.
If you want to sue me, call Laura Wasser. My favorite attorney. She's going to take care of me.
You're just saying that's what they're reporting, right?
That's what I'm
that's
saying.
What
that's what
the
Enquirer is saying. Right. I don't know how they're going to avoid a lawsuit, but I would sure like to. Today's celebrity birthdays. David Lynch. Excellent, excellent director. Usually.
Really bizarre dude.
Unless you're watching Dune. But usually, good stuff. 66 years old today. Paul Stanley of Kiss is 60. Ian Hill of Judas Priest. Fame is 66 years old. Bill Maher, 56. Lorenzo Lamas is 54. James Denton of Desperate Housewives fame is 49. Greg Kay of The Offspring turns 47. Rainn Wilson from The Office is 46. Questlove of The Roots is 41. Good Day for Drummers, Rob Borden, drummer from Linkin Park, is 33. And Buzz Aldrin, former astronaut Buzz Aldrin, former astronaut current creep Buzz Aldrin.
Hey, single ladies, good luck.
Celebrates his 82nd birthday today. And with that facelift, he doesn't look a day over 78. I'm telling you.
But a hell of a dancer, though. At least he's got that going
for
him.
Boy, can he move? He's like a panther. A panther at midnight. Stalking a penguin.
Are they stalking
penguins? Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize
that.
The
panther is the penguin's natural enemy.
I didn't realize that.
Well, open a blog. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I will. Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we will get to a complete recap of the NFL action this weekend, and we've got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah.
Open up a blog.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Why? Have you ever? Why?
Roll another one.
Wow, that was not fun to hear.
Just like the other one.
God, that's such a big liar.
This one seems to be about to quit.
This is horrible. This is offensive.
I need another hit.
It's the bow to the wow, creeping and crawling, yiggy yes yawing, Snoop Doggy Dog in the mother loving house like every day, dropping hits with my brother, Mr. Dr. Dre.
Roll.
Oh, wow.
That happened.
Wow.
Another one.
Where's the outrage there?
Yeah, good question.
Just like the other one.
They ain't no funny.
This one seems to be about to end.
I'm so confused right now.
I don't have another cent.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99.
Let's do it again, maybe a little better this time.
Just pass it around.
How can you love it? It's crap.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
The end. Soon it will be the end, but not yet.
Attention, everyone. Hello. Yes, I just want you to know that this is not my decision. You can consider this my retirement from comedy.
I want to say three cheers for what we did. We accomplished a lot today, so it's going to be a hip hip, and I want to hooray.
Yeah.
Okay. Three cheers. Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hip hip.
Hooray.
We came. We won. We saw. We are.
What?